This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. You are listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 250, part 2, brought to you by Discount Comic Book Service and iFanboy listeners like you. Connor Kilpatrick, and welcome to part two of iFanboy's 250th episode of the Pick of the Week podcast. When we recorded the show, we actually went really long, about 4 hours, so we cut the show in half, and this is part two. If you missed part one, just look back on the feed, wherever you're listening to this, on iTunes or whatever aggregator you're using. It's right behind this one. So now, without any further ado, here's part two. Enjoy.
Martin, from Melbourne, Australia. I'm a German student, and I'm currently spending an exchange semester in Melbourne, Australia. So I guess I did the accent completely wrong.
Yep.
Martin! Oh, that's terrible.
Ich bin ein Australian.
Ich bin ein Martin. Anyway, all my subscriptions are still running through the shop in Berlin, so I need you to recommend me some new titles. Comics in Australia are quite expensive, so let's say three new series should be enough. My pull list at home is pretty standard with all the big mainstream titles. Bendis, Johns, Rigor Morris, etc., and a few indies, all of Kirkman, all of Mignola, Chew, Morning Glories, etc. So your best chance to find something new for me is probably the indies. Just shoot straight from the hip. Don't pull your punches here, guys. At all.
It's so hard to pick something that he's not already reading. I mean, are you reading Irredeemable? That's an indie.
Irredeemable is really good. So is
Incorruptible.
Incorruptible.
Really yep. Good. I think I like that a little better.
Yeah.
Story-wise.
I like Magdalena a lot at a Top Cow. What's the one we all like? Artifacts?
Yeah, Artifacts. The Artifacts that just started. Yeah, you can get that.
Velocity was also good if you
look at it. Velocity was good.
Yeah. Spawn.
Not Spawn. No. I mean, here's the thing. While you're there, I don't know. Like, I'd get some trades. Like, go read The Mighty. Go read, go read one of those, like one of those Vertigo series that you'd been thinking about reading.
Well, the crime books.
Yeah. No, it's not what I meant at all. I meant like the long series, like Preacher or like Lucifer,
Why the
Last Man or Flight, something like that, something good. I don't know. What am I reading in? I'm feeling like I'm not reading a lot of stuff like this.
Irredeemable and Incorruptible are two great indie books that we should buy.
We said that already.
Yeah, but I'm saying we're reiterating.
I was trying to think of like an ongoing like image series or something like that, and I can't find any right now, which is weird.
Well, he's already Chew. He started reading Morning Glories. He's I mean, I love Savage Dragon. It's great. Great jumping on point right now. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Listen to the show every week.
All right.
This is what we do.
It is.
Yes.
Scott G writes in, has anyone other than the three of you ever chosen and written the pick of the week? Despite the mountains of grief I give some of you guys on Twitter, it's always an enjoyable show. Keep up the good work.
Well, no.
At least he knows he gives us mountains of grief.
Yeah, it's true.
No, it's been the three of us for 5 years, for 10 years.
No one has ever done the pick of the week besides us.
It's sacrosanct.
No, you can, that's actually a line that we have not yet crossed.
Yeah.
We are a fanboy. I mean, we've got a staff of writers that write great stuff for us, but we are the editorial staff of iFanboy, and as a result, we only write the pick of the week review.
Yeah. And also, they're better than us, so if they were to start doing that, it would, by comparison, make us
make
worse.
Us look horrible.
I can't have that. I just can't have it.
I can't have it.
I can't have it.
Follow Jim writing a pick of the week review. Look horrible.
Yep.
Josh W. Rice, who is Gordon the intern?
We'll never know who Gordon the intern is, will we?
Bum, bum, bum.
he's a go-getter.
He's an up and comer. He's
fucking for college credit, and one day perhaps he'll get a job at iFanboy.
If he's lucky.
Yeah, if he's lucky, he'll get permanent employment. But for right now, he's our intern.
Indeed.
Bum bum bum.
PSE Posdu on the site says that in 250 episodes, you built up a lot of continuing themes and running gags. Arthur from Maine, Pocket Size Jim Lee, The Loom of Fate, Where Do I Start Reading Green Lantern, Josh Hates Fun, and more. What is your favorite running gag on the show? What jokes ran too long or you wish would end? I can guess Josh's answer for that last question.
I'm not too short. I'm 5'10". I'm perfectly average.
Yes, but in comparison,
I feel bad about pocket sized Jim Lee at this point.
Yeah, but he is tiny. After seeing him again this summer.
He is quite short.
I got to admit, to this day, I don't think there's one running joke that made me laugh harder than Middle Management Red Skull.
That is neck and neck for me with Bad Roommate Black Panther.
You see, I didn't. Yes. Bad Roommate Black Panther was fun, but Middle Management Red Skull was just so perfect because we had like the white shirt. We all picked up on that issue, and it was just so fucking funny. It was like, where are the papers you promised me? You know, like
that is good, but yeah. I really like the toilet seat again.
You drank all the milk? You drank all the milk?
T'Challa!
I was going to make eggs.
He just shrugs and walks through scratching his ass.
I think Black Panther is my favorite. I really do.
I like Middle Management. God.
My favorite gag that I ever wrote or made up for the show is the beginning of the Punisher Warzone. That's my favorite
joke. Which one is that?
I read an apology to all other movies.
Oh yeah, that was funny. Yeah, that was good.
That's self-serving in a way.
Hunter ran too long.
That ran away too. We stopped laughing a long time after that.
Culminating when Josh and I were on Maxim Radio and someone called in and wanted to ask a question to Hunter and the host didn't know what the fuck they were talking about.
Oh, jeez.
Which was awkward for all of us.
Yeah. Hey.
Oh man.
We need another one.
We do. It's been a while, but it's gotta come naturally.
Well, it's true. I mean, like, the fact that we can't not talk about Goodfellas on a given week, that might be running too long for everyone else.
But not us.
Never.
It's not going to happen. That and G.I. Joe, the animated series.
Yes.
Those two things.
Well, just the other day, Josh sent me a text photo of a screenshot from his TV of De Niro doing the... Just go down there.
Oh, me too. I got the same one, and I laughed. No, and the motherfucker said it to me when I was in England.
I laughed like a fucking bitch.
I know.
I laughed like a motherfucker, and it's. I mean, that's definitely
a little bit.
So you sent me the text message, and I turned data off of my phone, so I get that he sent me a text, but I couldn't download it. So the moment I landed back in San Francisco, I turn on my phone, and I hit download, and it comes through slowly, and I just see it coming through, and I'm like, is that? I'm like, it is. I waited 3 fucking days for that photo.
I have to make a noise because you can't see me right now, but I'm making the face in that little hand.
No.
Well, We did the relationship show for the video show with all of our girlfriends and wives at the time, and we had to rent equipment because we had more people than our mixer will require. So we had to rent a mixer that had more than 3 inputs, and we're getting really technical now. And so Josh and I went to rent it. We go to the rental place and we drop it off, and he goes, "All right, you got to go down the special elevator." He starts making the same facial and hand movement as De Niro in that scene, and Josh and I both look at each other like. No, we're not gonna go down there because he was doing the just down there.
Just a little more.
Well, that's like there's a, and I apologize to the audience because I can't be specific about this, but there was a, Josh and I were at a meeting at a publisher, and there was a Mad Men reference that to this day always makes me laugh.
It's one of my best moments.
Oh, it was one of your best moments. I'm sorry I can't tell everyone I can't, but it's far too specific. But Josh just looked at me and said something that is mad. And I remember sitting there going, shut up.
Well, because the way it worked is you were looking at the people and I was around a corner. Yeah. So I didn't have to see anybody or deal with it. And I just said it to you and you're staring at people at the face. And I totally made fun
of it. We're trying
person.
To be professional. We're trying to be like...
I'm bad at that. I am a 5-year-old in the back of any given meeting.
Oh, God, it was bad. It was awesome.
Michael O says, I went to my very first con this year and met some creators for the first time. Unfortunately, a couple of artists that I was looking forward to meeting came across very snobby and seemed disinterested in answering questions from fans. On the other hand, some creators were very nice and fun to talk to about their upcoming projects. I was wondering if this is something that you've experienced and if it influences what comics you buy or don't buy.
Absolutely.
Well, if
it influences what you buy and don't buy?
Well, that's the thing. I think you need to draw a line, because the thing is that like there have been some artists that we have been critical of because of their demeanor at conventions. And then we've seen them at other conventions or in other places, and they've been the opposite of what my preconceived notion was.
Okay.
You know, and so like, and you know, that's when I kind of realized that, you know, maybe somebody, you know, like con is a really stressful environment. Maybe some people don't handle it very well.
That's also true. Or dude was eating a sandwich.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Because I know this one dude that if he's eating a sandwich, you best not be up on his shit. I swear to God, because your sketch is going to suck anyway.
Yeah.
But still.
There's never anybody who I've had a bad experience with who have not then read their book.
Yeah,
I've met a few guys who I don't like, and I'm less inclined to give their work the benefit of the doubt. But no, it's not like 100%. There's nobody who I've like. That's it. I won't buy his work.
I had a bad run in with an
editor. Because of that.
I had a bad run in with an editor that has affected my purchases. I haven't bought books that he's edited.
Really? So,
just because he was just a jerk. He was just a mean jerk for no reason.
It depends on how much of that personality then ends up showing through the work.
Yep.
If you hear that same voice that you didn't like that one time and it's in all the work, then it's less fun, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I've had people I didn't want to interview or publicize.
Yes.
But it hasn't stopped me from reading their books.
Right.
That's true. They're actually I mean we want to have people on the show who we really like and who we like talking to.
That's been our major rule. Like when you ask why we haven't talked to Greg Land, it's because we don't like Greg Land. But we get that a lot. I mean, it's the same, you know, that I learned that many, many years ago in my previous lives, and like your best work will come from the stuff that you actually care about, you know. So
it's true.
I just don't know anything about Greg Land.
Yeah. I know.
That's too much. That's me backpedaling.
Yeah.
Next.
And listen to all the episodes, and I mean all
Chris,
of them.
Chris.
Chris said these things. I had a few questions. What artist or writer should not write or draw for certain companies? Which should always write or draw for that company? This question was
How
specific.
Can you not read? You're not drinking at all.
Because it's
you're the sober one.
In listening to all of your episodes, yes, I mean all of them twice, I had a few questions. What artists / writers should or should not write or draw for certain companies? Which should always write or draw for that company? The question was specifically geared towards Marvel and DC, but you include any company. For example, Mike McCone's art for DC is awesome, and I've always enjoyed seeing it in Teen Titans. However, his art for Marvel and on Amazing Spider-Man or New Avengers is really disproportionate and, to be honest, not good compared to his work that has been for Teen Titans and other DC titles. Another would be Bagley, who I love doing Marvel work, but to see him draw DC is very awkward, but if we take an artist like Ryan Otley, who draws for Image, to me he could draw the phone book. An example for a writer, Jeff Loeb. I've loved what he's done with Batman, but his Marvel continuity work, on his Ultimate Universe.
How drunk are you?
Or even Hulk has been less appealing. I would love to see some new Geoff Johns stories at Marvel to see what he could do with the characters, but part of me wants him to permanently stay with DC until he croaks. What do you think? Again, thanks for all you do, fanboys. If it wasn't for you guys, I couldn't make it through the day. So basically, what creators are better when they're at Marvel or DC? Basically, like Rucka has had more success at DC than he has at Marvel.
He didn't do very much at Marvel.
He did a lot. He did Black. He did Elektra. He did Wolverine. Like he spent years. At Marvel.
You're right. I forgot. Wolverine was really good, but yeah. I forgot about all those other ones.
Yeah. He there's some most creators can do either, but like
yeah.
Morrison and Johns and Rucka seem to have more of the DC mentality.
Yeah.
That's just the way that they more connected with those characters.
I mean, everybody talks about they want to see Johns do Marvel. He did for years. He did Avengers. He did, like, Johns did a lot of stuff at Marvel.
He did, like, 4 trades worth of Avengers books. They were okay. They weren't as good as, you know, for whatever reason. I like Morrison's new Avengers, but for whatever reason, he seems more connected to the DC characters.
Yeah.
Johns is clearly more connected to the DC characters, but Bendis is clearly more Marvel guy.
Yeah.
You know, there's
artists. I mean, John Romita Jr. is a Marvel guy. He's always going to be.
Yep.
Yes.
That's his thing. You know, Kevin Maguire, DC, you know.
Yeah.
Has he done both?
Yeah, it was weird when he did the DC. He did the Defenders book. It was a little bit weird. He's a DC guy.
Yeah.
Keith Giffen
did. He started all the cosmic stuff.
I know that, but I tend to think of him as a DC guy.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I do agree with you. I do agree with you there. Yeah.
Bagley?
Bagley, more Marvel.
I like Bagley's JLA stuff, though.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, I don't – like, in the case of some of the writers, like – Geoff Johns' heart is totally in that. You know, he could do anything he wanted to. He wants to do this. He's choosing to do it. It shows.
Yeah.
But I think for the most part, like, they can do – I mean, it doesn't matter. It's whatever you bring to the characters that you're working on.
Yeah.
I really don't think that there's that much difference between the companies unless, like, you have a supreme affection and good idea for those characters. And when that happens, it's better.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there you go. Patrick from Winchester, Kentucky, or Pale Rider of Doom. Who do you think it's not my fault the grammar's off.
Who do you think? Sure, that's right. And that one is
that's gonna mess me up every time because I'm thinking, am I saying it wrong? No, it's just written, who do you think are a creator or creators who are wasting their talent right now? I'm not answering that.
Keep reading.
For me, it seems to be Jim Lee design work on an MMO. Really? When it gets released, is anyone going to ever notice or care about how many pouches he put on Batman's costume this time? And Alex Ross, Project Superpowers, quote, sigh. Does anyone really care about retro-styled heroes and villains and the blah, blah, blah? They're both great talents and need to be doing something that more regular people will notice. Of course, maybe now they are such big names that the things they do are near to their hearts. And seems to be at the cost of losing the importance of the industry that they once had. Thoughts? I think you're putting too much importance.
Well, Jim Lee is the co-publisher of DC Comics.
Yeah, he's busy. He's got a job.
So he may be designing the MMO, the DC Universe MMO, but he's also the co-publisher. So he's having more influence now than he ever had in any comic book company ever.
Also, and this is a very important note, more people are going to see the work that he does on the DC MMO than any comic book he has done since 1992.
Yep.
And they're going to make more money from those. It's no.
It 90, is. True. That's 90, true.
90 something later than two, but
whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, but, 95.
Yeah.
You know, like what?
More if people
you
will buy the DC Universe game than bought any comic he drew DC since he left Marvel. That's for sure.
Yep.
Alex Ross, whatever. Alex Ross can do whatever the fuck he wants because he's Alex Ross.
Yep.
And the fact is, you know, it's up to the consumers to decide if they want to buy it. I mean, like, I don't like the idea that something that work only counts if you're doing, you know, DC.
See,
I don't like that. Like, if he's off doing good work for Dynamite and it's amazing, people will show up.
Yeah, and the thing is that you're like, and Josh, you nailed it. Is that you're putting a little too much pressure or focus on the work they're doing? Like these are just jobs for these guys. You know what I mean? Like, no writer-artist is talking. I mean, a lot of people will tell, like, Kirkman and things like that will talk about the importance of the industry and importance of creator-owned work and stuff like that. But, like, at the end of the day, they're just doing it for a paycheck, whether you want to believe that or not, you know? And so, don't put too much stock in, you know, they're not doing justice to Marvel. And, you know, like, they don't care. Marvel's a company. You know, they don't care. So
They don't look at it the same as the fans do.
Yeah.
But in terms of Jim Lee, he's a fucking co-publisher of DC Comics.
Yep, totally.
He has more influence now over the industry than he ever had in his life.
Yeah.
That. You know what? If he wanted to do a book, he would because he could.
Yep, exactly.
But, I mean, if he went and was like, I want to do a monthly book, he could do that. He doesn't want to, clearly, because he hasn't been able to put one out on a monthly basis in a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
But the things he does, you don't see.
Yeah.
It's not publicized. He's running the second biggest company in comics.
Yep.
Edward G., who's also the Vision fanboy, writes, digital comics versus motion comics? One or the other prevail. Not both, I say, because digital comics will work as transposing the same experience onto a new delivery system, but motion comics will not, because they are a poor man's cartoon or just a trailer, and most importantly, don't let me pause and reflect upon my own imagination while reading the story. Digital comics versus motion comics, which
they're
one will
not,
be?
I think they're not competitors.
I don't think they're competitors, but I think ultimately digital comics will prevail where motion comics is more of a fad.
Yes. Well,
motion comics, I feel like it's already going away.
Yeah, me too. So
Thank God.
When's the last time you've seen a major one?
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, our next question, Eric from New York, who says, who would win in a thumb wrestling fight, Gordon or Jim? I'm going to give it to Jim just because Gordon's skinny and scrawny.
He's wiry,
Jim's,
though, and fast.
Jim's full of anger.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But Gordon is wiry.
That's Gordon is wiry and creative, yeah. So, but, yeah, anyway, good question.
It's a good matchup.
It is a good matchup. All right.
I'd like to see that, actually.
All right, that was a short one, so we'll read the next one, too. Heinrich from Stockholm. Heinrich. Says, I was just rummaging through I was just rummaging through my storage unit. That's what she said. No. Looking for comics when I came across a box containing a few number one issues. That got me thinking. When was the last time Marvel or DC published an ongoing title featuring a brand new character? It feels like nowadays all new ongoings feature old characters, or at least the characters introduced in another title. I mean, Luke Cage made his first appearance in his own title, as did She-Hulk. But that was the 70s-ish. Newer characters like Hitman or Jack Knight both started out in other titles. So who's the newest brand new character getting his or own ongoing title from DC or Marvel proper? No ultimate titles, creator-owned books, or Max, please. My guess is Runaways. Am I right? You think?
Probably.
The Sentry.
Yeah. No.
I want to say you're right, because it makes sense from a business standpoint, because there's less opportunity to take risks, unfortunately. They took more risks back in the day. But that said, I got to think they've done new things. Like Deadpool, that's a new character, right?
Mm. I was about to say years ago.
I know. I was about to say Gog, but that's not.
No, but he started in another book, yeah.
Or Magog. Well, like there's a Magog series now. And
but he started another book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
They don't do it anymore. They don't start titles with new characters.
Because people don't buy them.
Right, yeah, that's the thing. They don't know who they are. Yeah, it's the kind of thing. I want to look at the top 300 comics of last month and to see if any of those actually apply. I mean, X-Men 1
X-Men.
Yeah, it was X-Men, yeah. I'm just going down all the number ones here.
I mean, if you're not
Batman Odyssey, number one, no. Shadowland was a miniseries. Avengers Chosen Crusade, that's a mini. Ultimate Scarlet, number one, that's a Max or Icon.
I think he's right. Runaways is the last major book where you had new characters debut in a number one issue. It was Runaways.
Yeah.
The Mighty, but it's not in continuity, per se.
But also not a major. No one bought it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but it's DC.
Yeah,
put out a title for people to buy that featured a character that had not been in anything else.
Yeah, not even that Hitmonkey shit. That was in another, like all this other stuff. They're all spin-offs, you know? Yep. Vertigo, Sweet Tooth, but that's not a count. Yeah, yeah.
That's a rich series.
Yeah.
That's not how those work.
Yeah.
The markets changed in the 70s.
Yeah.
In the 70s, you had a big enough audience where you could launch Power Man and Iron Fist, and people would buy it because it was Marvel.
And they're just buying whatever, yeah.
But now, if you launch Power Man and Iron Fist, people wouldn't buy it because they wouldn't know who the characters were. They wouldn't know who the creative team was. They wouldn't have a fit in continuity.
You know where it's happening.
Alias.
You know where it's happening. I mean, it's not happening at Marvel DC. It's happening at Boom and Image.
And Dark Horse. And
yeah, exactly. They're the ones who take risks on new characters. They introduce new characters all the time, yeah. Apropos of nothing, X-Men number one did over 140,000.
I'm not surprised.
That's amazing.
All right. Mike G. from Canada writes, lately, I've been feeling my excitement for comics beginning to wane. For the past 7 years, I've been going to my comic store every Wednesday, and usually I could say that, depending on the storyline, I was genuinely excited to read almost all the comics that I had been buying. But lately, I found that most of the comics I used to be enthusiastic for, Captain America, Avengers, Green Lantern, has left me feeling kind of blah. I still follow a lot of comics, and most weeks I pick up whatever you guys recommended as pick of the week. But even then, I can only say that one or two titles lately I've been eagerly anticipating for the next issue. What do you guys think? Is it time for me to gracefully bow out of the comic book game? Have you guys ever experienced this lull in your comic book excitement? What got you through it? Josh?
I'm going to say no.
Josh?
Yeah, no, that happens to me a lot. In fact, all those titles that you just named, I'd stop reading them.
I'm blah on Green Lantern, I'll be honest.
I don't know if I've stopped reading it, but I'm going to if I haven't. And not again, not because it's bad, but it just like I don't want to go through it again right now. We just went through the whole thing.
But let's not harp on the specifics. Let's talk about the generals.
No, but in all of them though, like sometimes you just have to clear the decks.
And you know what it is? You know what it is? It's time for Mike to seek out other kind of comics.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. You have to clear the decks and try different kinds of things. These are the times when you just go try some of the other stuff that's going on. Check out some of the Vertigo series. Don't worry about the number.
Yep.
You know, just go try a couple of things out. Read some different things that get you excited. Or it doesn't even have to be an ongoing series. Like we've talked about a ton of stuff on our shows. You know, like go just try a series you've been meaning to go or if you need to, go read something that you really loved before. Reread it. It'll really, like I just read Transmetropolitan again and like, man, it jazzed me. I was so happy. You know, just switch up. If you're not enjoying something, just get away from it for a little bit. You might enjoy it when you come back. And that's okay. So, you know, you don't need to keep buying stuff forever endlessly, but don't stop reading comics.
There's a multitude of books out there. And the thing is, if you get sick of superhero books, There's so many non-superhero comics out there that are good. I've never been at the point in my life, and I think Ron is the same, where you wanted to stop buying books, but probably where you wanted to seek out other kind of books.
Yep.
And that's where you find your Strangers in Paradise. That's where you find your Preacher. That's where you find books that aren't in the norm.
I always try to keep about 25% of the books I buy indie, non-superhero, that sort of thing.
That's where you pick up your Sweet Tooth. That's where you pick up your Morning Glories. That's where you pick up books that are not in the norm. Because comics are so varied that if you only focus on superhero, and we know Mike Graham. This is Mike.
Yep.
We know him. We've known him for years. He reads lots of books. Don't just read Green Lantern. Read Sweet Tooth. Read Morning Glories. Read Glamour Puss, read Echo, and there's great stories out there. It's just I've never had it myself, but I can understand being tired of superheroes. I can understand it intellectually, but I've never had it happen. If you're tired of superheroes, there's a multitude of books out there to find that you'll enjoy.
Yep,
it's a matter of finding them.
So, yes, John G. Are there any? Great question. Are there any Native American superheroes who don't have fringe on their costume?
That's a great question.
Is Dazzler from the 70s a Native American then?
No, I don't think, Josh, you read the new book that came out this week, the Freedom book from
Freedom Fighters. Freedom Fighters.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's feathers.
I don't think Black Condor had fringe on his costume.
Hang on, get to it.
Currently, right now, what's his face? Warpath or Proudstar from X-Men, X-Force doesn't have fringe on his costume, but I think he did. So
yeah.
Listen.
What?
Comics in the 70s and 80s weren't the most PC.
Listen, you go for what people will get, what they'll understand. And the thing is, you see that and you think, okay, Indian. You know what I mean? Like, you get it, you know.
The most important part is Josh did not read the follow-up, which was Mayhem.
Mayhem.
Mayhem. At least they don't all have red in front of their name.
Yeah, it's true.
Because that would be worse if they did that with another race. Oh, wait.
Come on, Josh. Come on,
Ron. All right. Next question. Jen D. from Portland writes in, says, number one, I've just read that Sandman is being adapted for the small screen, but it's unclear as to which network it'll be shown on. My favorite is HBO. But I'm kind of thinking they shouldn't do that at all. A large part of me thinks comics should stay in their originally intended medium because most of the time, movies and TV get it wrong. However, when they do get it right, it's pretty awesome. What are your thoughts?
They always do stay in their original medium.
Yeah, so it will never go. Yep. But the thing is that it Josh is right. The comic will never go away, so you can always read that. But the thing is, I totally know of the hope of something that, like, oh, this could be good.
You know? It's about an 80% failure chance.
80% failure, 20% success. It looks like we've got a successful Walking Dead, but we haven't seen the episode yet. We don't know, you know. But but then compare.
I got a good feeling about it. It's going to be good. Yeah, doesn't mean it's going to do well. I knew Scott Pilgrim was going to be good.
Yeah,
but I didn't think it was going to do well. And right. Look at that.
So her next question is: I know you guys love Mad Men. Picking from comic books, who would you cast in the roles of Don Draper, Roger Sterling, Betty Draper, and Joan Harris? Basically, who is the Don Draper of the DC Universe, etc.? And incidentally, this isn't a formal question, but have you seen the Mad Men Barbie dolls? I kind of want one. Hugs and kisses. I've seen the Barbie dolls too. They're kind of interesting.
Hal Jordan is Don Draper.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Although
is it pre Mojo Don Draper or post Mojo Don Draper? Because right now he's got no mojo.
It's pre. We're gonna go with that.
He is.
Roger Sterling. In DC.
Tony Stark.
Yes, Tony Stark or a Nick Fury type.
Tony Stark.
But I don't know. Who's the most unlikable character?
Emma Frost.
Yes. And Joan would be the most.
She's direct, though. Betty Draper is passive aggressive.
Yeah.
But Joan is the more Emma Frost.
Joan is
overtly
Tigra?
Sexual.
Tigra.
She's not Emma Frost. Joan's not Emma Frost.
Joan's overtly sexual like Emma Frost is.
No, but she's not as conniving and no, she's not. She's power. She's
Starfire.
Power hungry.
Starfire.
But, well, this is the boobs.
No, it's not. It's the personality.
I don't know Starfire's personality well enough to.
She's a thing of beauty.
All right, we're gonna punt on Betty. That's fine.
All right, that's fine.
Betty's awful.
Because Betty should be punted. All right, next.
Eric H writes, "I was wondering, are there characters that you really aren't fond of, but." Was there a run of the character you really enjoyed?
Oh, good question.
That I can't think of an answer to.
The thing is, with a character you're not fond of, you would tend to skip that run.
Not necessarily. I mean, I've read...
I would.
Yeah. Ron wouldn't.
I wouldn't, yeah.
I don't like the Penguin, but I really liked how he is now.
Jason Aaron's Penguin mini one-shot was great.
That was just a one-shot. But I just mean, like, as he used to exist... I didn't like him, but I like what he is now, which is sort of...
Like the method mobster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also just like he's not the villain ever now. He's like the guy the villain goes through. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like he's never the nemesis in the book. He's always a side character.
That just made me think of Nemesis Enforcer.
Tiny wings on the action figure.
Yeah.
Fuck that character. David W. He writes, "Dear Jimmy, Kima, and Bunk." Who is
who?
Josh will think about that for a second. "I've often wondered, since you guys are obviously very passionate about promoting new talent and new independent work, if you ever regret locking yourselves into such a specific and in some ways restrictive format for your Pick of the Week podcast. I listen every week and enjoy the show immensely, but at some time feel that your coverage can't help but be biased towards a specific subject of the wider comic market, limited as it is to books released that Wednesday via the direct market. For example, I don't recall ever hearing you talk about Freak Angels in the podcast, but would be very surprised if none of you were reading and enjoying it. Is this something that bothers you? Or if so, have you or are you considering any ways to remedy it, say maybe in addition to the segment in which you talk about a wild card webcomic or graphic novel? Or do you feel the video show and written content on the website provide you with enough room to cover other things without messing with what at this point seems a very tried and true tested format of the podcast? As an independent creator working primarily on the internet, I obviously have vested interest in this question, but I'm genuinely not trying to steer you in any direction. I've thought about this issue a lot when listening to your podcast, and I'm not sure I want you to mess with something that is clearly working. That said, as you all have guessed from that fact that I've been bothered to email you about it, I'm interested to hear what you think."
Well, I mean, I think you've answered the questions a little bit there, is that, you know, it's been 5 years, it's kind of working for us.
That's what the audio show is.
Right, yeah, that's the format that we've chosen, and you're right that we've done things like the video show, or we've added things like Book of the Month or written posts on the site or that sort of thing to accommodate for things that this audio show doesn't. The thing is that, like, I don't read Freak Angels. I'm not reading Freak Angels.
None of us do.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't necessarily mean that somebody related to iFanboy isn't reading it. Maybe they might write about it someday. Like, you know, like it's out there. It could be like the trade could be Book of the Month, or we could write a review of it or something. But for this show is focused on the issues of comics that come out every week at the comic book stores. Issues. Like, we never talk about trades. We never talk about OGNs, that sort of thing. Except for when it's Book of the Month, you know? Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, and the one area that we're probably lacking in the most that we probably should look into, but ultimately none of us have very been passionate about, have been webcomics. Like, we are sorely lacking in the world of webcomics. I don't read any, you know?
Because none of us care.
Yeah.
And I know, I'm not saying that to be harsh, but no. It's actually the truth. Yeah. Like, I can't be arsed to do it.
Yep.
I've heard about them. I have also, this is important, I have no expertise on it.
Right, yep.
No, but nothing has ever hooked me. And there's been a couple where people putting up their graphic novel as they do it. But I always get to the point where I catch up to them.
You see,
and then I have to wait a week for a page and I won't do it.
Yeah, and part of the problem, at least for me, like I don't say I read anywhere. I read Misery Loves Sherman because it's Chris Eliopoulos and we're friends with him and we like what he does and stuff like that. But like, you know, and I'll skim PvP or I'll skim Penny Arcade or stuff like that. But like things like, you know, Cameron Stewart's Sin Tutulo and like The Guns of Shadow Valley by Dave Wachter, stuff like that. I've heard great things about him.
Carl Kerschel's,
yeah, I've heard great things about these comics. My problem is that I spend every waking minute in front of a computer, and like that's my own personal problem. And I actually look forward to the times I can sit on the couch and read a book. So yeah,
Josh.
No, I mean, it's what he said. But the thing is, I think that we do cover all that other stuff.
On the site.
We cover everything that we're interested in as much as we have time for. I've heard people say, well, why don't you just do a graphic novel every week? I don't have time to read an extra graphic novel every week on top of all the other stuff. Like, it really is like a matter of bandwidth. But, I mean, the it's funny because we'll get emails from people who only listen to the audio show or only watch the video show. And like, why don't you ever talk about this? And like, dude, we do.
Yeah.
The thing is, we talk about so much stuff that unless you're watching all of it and remember all of it, like you're gonna miss some stuff. But the audio show, it is not broke, and so we don't fix it.
Yep, it seems to be working so far.
And that it's about weekly issues that come out. And I was thinking about this today, and the weekly issues that come out are mostly mainstream books.
Yep,
and or like that's sub mainstream, you know, Oni.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's really hard to pick out, you know, like, we're not going to be able to follow the mini comics that come out in a given week. We, you know, like any, you know, we'll hear about it when it's time, and then we'll.
There's a lot of comics out there in the world. There's a lot.
But yeah. Josh, who is Jimmy? Who is Kima? Who is Bunk?
I have no idea what that means. But Bunk was in The Wire, and he said the plural for
pussy. They're all from The Wire.
Kima?
Jimmy, Kima. Kima.
Oh. Whoa. Yeah. I'm really tired. I may as well be drunk right now. I have a baby.
I feel like I'm Jimmy. Ron is Kima, and you are Bunk.
Why would? Okay.
That's what I feel like. I could be wrong.
I fear that I'm Kima.
You could be Kima. Ron could be Bunk.
You guys are making no sense.
No, that's okay. Discount Comic Book Service, they sponsor the show. You should therefore patronize them. But also, a damn good thing going on. If you don't have a great local comic book shop, for example, you can get monthly specials of up to 75% off, 40% off all the major publishers, and flat rate shipping on all U.S. orders. You can buy anything in previews, and there are over 9,000, I'm guessing more than that, trade paperbacks in stock. Track your orders online. Go to dcbservice.com. Recently, they announced that Diamond is going to ship books to people on Tuesday.
Awesome.
Instead of Wednesday, and I will be interested to see how this affects DCB service.
Probably will help them because they could get the shipments out earlier. Yeah.
You got the shipments out earlier.
Yeah.
And you did overnight, you could get them on the same day.
That'd be awesome.
Which would change the whole game.
I'm changing the game.
Vincent from Westchester says, as grandmasters in the art of comic and graphic novels, what is your opinion of this phenomenon? In Japan and the rest of Asia, the graphic novel format is a widely accepted form of entertainment. You see people from children to elderly reading manga and watching anime. It is considered an acceptable form of entertainment. Here in the U.S. and the rest of the West, comic books, sci-fi, fantasy movies are frequently blockbusters, and it seems that more and more people want to see films like this. However, when it comes to actual comics, there is a stigma attached to them. They are considered immature and lowbrow. Why do you think this stigma continues to exist? How can a 40-something person love the Spider-Man or Batman films but feel embarrassed to read a comic graphic novel about them on a train? There are so many great stories and artists out there. Why wouldn't comics fill the demand for more content? Are we in our 30s and 40s and 50s still subconsciously worrying about, quote, what the cool kids think? What is different about the Japanese mindset in ours? That's a big question at the end there. There is something to that. There is just what's the difference between Japanese and American cultures? Well, that's a thesis question. Paper.
Well, the whole manga thing, I mean, that's been steeped in their culture since the, you know, 50s or 60s, whereas our comics in our culture back in the 50s and 60s were kids. And that's a really annoying stigma that we all have to deal with. I mean, this makes me think of the recent, you know, Read Comics in Public Day that just happened. And a lot of people asked us why we didn't, you know, why we weren't fully supporting it. No, I wasn't anti-supporting it. But like my response was like, I read comics in public every day. I was reading them on the bus today. You know, like I don't feel the need to make a big deal out of it because that's what we do. And, you know, and I don't know. It's
also this cool kids stigma, which I do feel comes up a lot with most people, but I don't ever, when I was growing up, I never felt that stigma. I just read comics.
Yeah, me neither.
I read them.
Yep.
And I wasn't a cool kid. I wasn't not a cool kid. I just was a person who read comics, and I never felt persecuted for it.
Right.
So, if you're not in high school.
But I know people who do read them now who still feel that weird stigma.
Listen, if you're in high school right now, you get a pass because that shit's rough and they're going to make fun of you for whatever. Fine. Yeah. But if you're in your 20s or whatever, like, get over it. It doesn't exist.
Right, yep.
It's just,
exactly.
It doesn't.
Exactly.
It's not a thing. If you want to read comics, read comics. Be a thing. Don't make it, I've said this before, like, you don't have to be comic book is my life. It's a part of your life. It's a thing you like. But the thing is, people turn comic books into something, and all you ever have to tell anybody is, it's just another way to tell. I'm not saying, not even that this guy was saying that, but people who are thinking like that, it's just another way to tell a story. I like the way that this tells a story. I like this art.
If you let it dominate your life, then you might have a problem in the way that some people who let sports dominate their life.
If you were
going to somebody's house, you're on a date, you go to their house, and their house is full of sports memorabilia, you might get freaked out the same way if it was full of comics.
Patton Oswalt movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's, comics are no different. So if you have to decide if you're going to let yourself be stigmatized by comics or not, but also if you can let yourself be ruled by comics.
Yep.
That's a whole other issue.
That's a heavy question. Jeez, wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, next question. Jeff from Texas, Roy Vampire, says, you know how the Batman has that thing that he does in Gordon's office? You know, where he disappears out the window and Gordon makes some funny comment on it? Well, I was trying to think of other heroes that have running gags like that. Maybe not gags, but little things that most books have done for decades that we kind of take for granted. Mostly I was looking for ones for Spider-Man and Superman or the Avengers. I think they all have that. I mean, Wolverine has got a bunch of gags that go about Wolverine. You know, the being in three places at once. You know, that's
the popping two claws, but not the middle one.
Yeah, exactly. Spider-Man, talk about running gags. That's all Spider-Man is. Spider-Man's a walking gag, you know, like...
I really like the one with his roommate who hates him.
Yeah.
That he slept with. I thought
who
that
he slept
was
with when he was drunk, but not really drunk.
Yeah,
because
thought he was
normally
drunk,
you
yeah.
can't drink alcohol.
Yeah.
Fucking bullshit.
Jesus Christ. I'm having flashbacks to, like, Christmas in my family. Like, it's... Okay, Connor, bullshit. let's go sit in the other room.
They had to get drunk and have sex with his roommate. Fine. Mm. But then a couple of years later, oh, I was pretending to be drunk.
All right. Anyway.
Whatever.
Anyway.
Mateo A. from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. In one of your recent podcasts, you listed the typical characteristics of a evil character in comics and pop culture in general. I cannot help but have not slept since then. I have a goatee. I have a European accent. I'm originally from Italy. I'm not a genius, but I'm highly educated with two masters and a PhD. The only requirement I don't meet, or at least I don't think I meet, is that I don't treat women with contempt. Maybe you should ask my wife. Am I evil? If that is the case, should I tell my family and my students?
Yes. Sorry.
He has a goatee, he's European, and he's highly educated. Is he evil?
Yes. Sorry.
Wow.
Does he have
should
a ponytail?
We call some?
Have
should
a ponytail?
We call some?
I think we need to report this. Yeah, I think this is a
well,
problem.
We have.
Yeah.
Well, he's Italian and he's in Milwaukee. There can't
Mateo
be
Mateo A.
It's okay. FBI. I know that's probably somebody from the FBI listening. Find this guy, take him down, and kick him out.
Yep. We got an evil one. Dotson. We got Dotson.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Mateo, we are
it's,
sorry.
It's out of our hands. It's really out
Thank
of our hands.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Thank you. Dave G. The Horseman. I want to know, does he make people call him that? Hey,
that's
I'm Dave.
Fanboy.
I'm Dave, but you can call me The Horseman. I think if you could pull that off,
like
you'd be
Sting.
The Horseman. You and Mateo could hang out together. Who's that? It's Mateo and The Horseman. It'd be a buddy cop show.
I live
in a one comic shop town. It's the same shop I started buying comics at back in the early 80s, and it's been around so long, it could almost be considered a local heritage site. The problem is the founder and owner seem to have lost his comics mojo. I was talking to him a couple weeks ago, and he told me he really doesn't read comics anymore. He doesn't know what's good or what people are talking about. When I walk into the shop, there's no real sense of community. I pick up my small stack, exchange a few pleasantries, and head out. I'm forced to rely exclusively on the online community for any kind of comics discussion. I don't even have any idea if there are local artists or writers trying to break into the industry. My question is, in this type of environment, how would you go about building a comics community outside of the internet? Thanks. Here's hoping for another 250. Oh, that's nice.
That's a tough one. Start a club.
Meetup.com, start a comic book club, put a thing up in his do a weekly like meetup talk thing in that shop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
The
good
people
idea.
Who come in there would see a sign if that's what you wanted to do. And the guy, it's still his business, so he's gonna want the business to do well. So if he can find a way to bring more people in, it's gonna make them want to buy more comics, he's gonna be down for that.
Yeah, a lot of people think a good shop depends on a good owner, but I mean there are shops out there with bad owners that have good communities, you know. You can still do that. So not that they're bad owners. I'm sure they're good people, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I know, but he's not down with it. I mean, he's only hurting himself, you know,
in the end.
Ron?
All right. Matt Burden from the UK, Templar 17. Oh, Matt, Templar. Congrats on 250 episodes, and I'll get right to it. Desert Island Threesome. Pause for a dirty joke. All three of you are trapped on an island, and each of you can take three items with you: a trade or an OGN, a movie, and an album. Yes, you have a TV, DVD player, and a power supply, because without these, the game doesn't work. So for me, it would be predictably Watchmen, Jaws, and Radiohead's The Bends. You also have the superpower to take away one annoying habit from each of your fellow islanders. What would it be? So it's Josh, Connor, and Ron stranded with some choices to make.
Ooh. He's going to get us to fight.
Yeah, let's skip the annoying habit one. Because nothing good comes of that. We're not going to fight each other, guys. Come on.
Oh, we totally would. If we're stuck, are you kidding me? It'd be a week and a half.
All right, so Josh, one comic, one movie, one record.
Oh, I got to go first.
All right, you're better to go first. I'll go first. Okay, so if I can bring one comic with me, probably would be the Dark Phoenix Saga. Tried and true. Never get tired of it. If I could bring one movie with me, oh, it's a tough one.
Really is.
Really tough one. I mean, it's either Empire or Goodfellas.
I'm thinking, I thought Goodfellas, if you bring Goodfellas, then I don't have to.
Right, true, yeah. We should really get on the same page here, yeah. So,
I'm thinking about bringing Godfather.
Okay, yeah, no, that will certainly
because
pass
it has
the time.
Rewatchability, and we can start. We'll be talking about the lighting.
Should I bring Star Wars then?
Yeah, no, so I'll bring Goodfellas. Yeah, okay, so do that. I like how we're combining, and then for record,
we just talked about how we would fight, but now,
but now we're teaming up. This is nice.
That's good.
Music wise, I'd probably bring Smith's Louder Than Bombs.
I would not bring that. I would bring.
So you bring The Godfather.
It's really hard. I would probably bring, let's say, Abbey Road, White Album.
Good pick. Abbey Road, good pick. I'd go with Abbey Road.
All right, so you're bringing Abbey Road. I'll bring Glee Volume 1.
Nice. God. That'd be great.
Now, see, for the comic, the problem with it is trade or OGN.
Yeah.
Now, really, you'd preferably want to have something gigantic.
Right.
Like From Hell.
Yeah, although I don't want to read that over and over again.
Or like
I'm
on
stuck
the bus
on an island,
or
I would kill one of you.
An omnibus or something. Yeah, you would.
That would be a bad call.
Boy, you got to carry that weight.
V for Vendetta?
I was actually just turning around. I was looking at that specifically. Maybe. It might be Watchmen because it's such a heavy text.
Yeah, and you can get so much out of it.
Yeah. I mean, if it was in terms of like a whole series, then that might be a different call. I might bring Transmetropolitan or Starman or something like that. But if it's only one book, that's tough.
All right. Connor, what comic do you bring?
Probably Watchmen. I mean, it's a cliche, but you get so much out of it.
So you said you were going to bring Star Wars. Do you bring Star Wars or Empire? Because I would offer, if I can only pick one of the three, I'd bring Empire.
I think I'd bring Star Wars.
I bring Star Wars. I mean, you're going to lose the moment where Han shows up at the trench.
Yeah, but I know that. I mean, Empire, I feel, is more nuanced.
You don't know everything in Empire? That's not your qualification.
Yeah.
I would
just bring a random movie. I would probably just go rent something. I would date night or...
Reds?
Date night, nice.
Date night, something.
Oh, that's all grown-ups?
Yeah.
Harry Brown?
Like that. Oh, that would be awesome.
I bring Star Wars. I bring the first one. I think the first one...
On a 3D.
Conan?
Empire is the best, but I think the first one has that quality.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You're going to be upset to get there and then look down in your bag and be like, fuck, I brought Attack of the Clones on accident.
Oh. I'll go as far to say that Attack of the Clones is worse than Phantom Menace.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It's the worst one.
Yeah.
Easily.
Which is ironic because Empire is the best.
Here's why Star Wars 1 is better. It's funnier.
Yeah. Mm.
It's cheaper.
Yeah.
It's funnier. It's got all the good moments that you want, but it's also got a lot of goofy shit where you're like, that looks terrible. Like just little things like that.
Yeah, I
see
that.
The Arafor, it would make it more fun to have on the island.
Yeah.
Someone get this walking carpet out of my way.
This island sounds like we got it. We're going to have a good time. Let's go. When do we leave?
We need to check, though.
Yeah, we
until
need
to until one of us gets Randy.
Until Connor gets Randy.
We need an open minded chick.
What does that sound? God, I hope it's crabs.
I'm really itchy.
Why is he crying?
That's an easily answerable question.
Oh, God. All right, next question.
Excalibur writes,
our buddy.
Two questions. Number one. In this series, Scott Pilgrim gained two swords, the power of love and the power of understanding. If it was you, what is the name of, and the type of sword you would get from your chest? For example, my sword would be called the Excalibur, and it is the reverse-bladed sword. So what sword did you get? Ron would get the sword of barbecue.
Jesus Christ.
And the sword of Seagrams.
All right. This is just getting weird.
Josh would get the sword of bitterness.
I would totally be the bad guy in that movie, wouldn't I?
Yep.
Yes, you would.
All right. I'm not going to argue with that.
Get the sword of beer. All right.
I would like the sword of wit.
Yeah, because you need it.
Good one. Yeah, because you ain't that.
Zing.
Number two. It is disappointing that Scott Pilgrim vs. the World didn't make it big in the theaters. I really liked the movie. If the movie was divided into two films like Kill Bill, would it have worked better than with the pacing issues? For example...
That wasn't the problem.
The first one ended with the fight with Todd Ingram. And the second movie would fight the rest of the exes. It seems like it would be better if they can add more Volume 5 in the movie. Would it have been better? Or would the first movie have been a flop? Or would they never made the second movie?
I don't agree with that. I think it's fine the way it was.
No, they're not going to make a second one. Would have never come. You would have never seen the end.
Yeah. Well, they shot Kill Bill at the same time. I mean,
They would have been like, well, we've already wasted all the money on this.
They made the only movie they could make with that movie. Doesn't matter.
Agreed. And I don't necessarily think it was bad. I don't think the performance of the movie was related to the quality of the movie. So.
No.
I think it was more related to the subject matter, the marketing, and the content, and the audience, and that sort of stuff. So.
A hipster backlash.
Yep. So.
Next question.
I want to say this name a lot. Brockett Vola.
Nice.
From Chicago, Illinois. Wow, that's awesome. Any way you guys could tell an embarrassing story about each other? Great job. Hope you're drinking. That is an atom bomb there at number 67.
I'm going to tell Josh's embarrassing story.
Which one?
Oh, wait.
We've told it before, but I'll tell it again because that's how it works.
This really is like a family Christmas. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Just sit on my lap.
10 years ago in the hot tub
in
San Diego, Josh and I and a couple, a guy and a girl, in the hot tub in the hotel talking.
Logan.
Was his name Logan? We're all chatting about the San Diego Comic-Con because we're all there for the con, and Josh starts bad-mouthing Rob Liefeld.
I wasn't bad-mouthing him. I made a dumb joke using his name based on all – I barely knew who he was.
But you still bad-mouth him.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is like different – there's. I could sit here now and I could be like, he doesn't draw feet and blah, 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 and I could do that. But this wasn't even that. It was
– It would just be
sucky like Rob Liefeld.
It was 22-year-old poser Josh making a Rob Liefeld joke.
Sure.
And as it turns out, Logan was good buddies with Rob Liefeld. And it was so uncomfortable that we were in the hot tub, I dipped down below up to my eyeballs.
You do that. That's very funny.
To get out of the situation. Like, I'm not here. Don't acknowledge me. That would be Josh's.
Well, that same San Diego trip was also the one where we were staying several doors down from a certain comic creator and his family, including his teenage daughter, which we were very enamored by.
Listen, we were in a hotel room and a young pretty girl walks by
and we all look and
are we supposed to know she's 16 and not 18? We don't know that. We're 22. We don't know the difference.
And the daughter of a creator that we were geeking out big time over that entire con.
Yes. Not our fault. She was wearing a very strappy, sparkly
revealing,
top, and a, you know,
she was dressed for the Eisners with class. Let's just leave it at that. Yeah.
It's not our fault.
Yeah, not our fault. No, I can't be held responsible.
Learning experience, to say the least.
Exactly. Yes.
Valuable experience, I might say.
We cut our. Yes, I agree.
How to comport oneself.
Yep. Totally agree.
And as you can see, it's completely worked out. Brian S. Why the fuck did I buy so many Dreamwave production variant covers in 1999?
Nobody knows the answer to that.
Well, if you really like the Transformers, yeah. I assume.
Well, it helps you. If it helps you feel any better, the money you spent to buy those covers didn't pay any of the creators.
They bought Pat Lee a nice Porsche.
Yeah, exactly. Anthony K has got a big question. We all love comics, but do you guys ever feel a certain contempt for any particular series, new or old, that you don't think deserves the praise or hype it's gotten?
Deadpool.
What's your guys' opinion on the Brian Bendis graphic novels he did before coming to Marvel? I haven't heard you guys really say if you like them.
That's not how you spell coming.
Yeah.
In this instance.
Oh, that's awful. I haven't heard you guys really say if you like them or not. I was wondering which guys you like and dislike or why. So you guys always say to ask about comics or questions unrelated to comics, but I don't hear enough of the latter, especially awkward questions about your guys' private lives. All right, we're going to pause there, answer the questions, and we'll answer the private lives.
Or not.
Okay, so which ones, what comics do we feel don't deserve the praise or hype that they've gotten?
Thor,
a lot of the Morrison Batman stuff.
No.
You don't need to agree. It's okay.
I will fight you.
Yes, you will, and it doesn't matter.
I don't know. You know what? I said Deadpool's a joke. I've never read Deadpool. Yeah. Fuck, I know. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't like Straczynski's work for the most part. And so Thor is another one. Like, I didn't think it was bad.
Yeah.
It's all right. I changed my mind on Invincible Iron Man after reading it all in one piece.
Even what about Casanova?
No, I've read that twice. It's awful.
Yeah. Nice.
I don't get it.
All right. What is our opinion of Bendis' graphic novels he did before coming to Marvel? I love them.
Jinx, Goldfish, and Fire.
Love them.
We've showcased them at least two video shows.
Yeah. Fortune and Glory.
One crime book show, and once Ron and I we did a video show together talking about Rainy Day Reads. We talked about Jinx.
Yep.
I think Fire is weak.
Fire is a little bit weak compared to Jinx and Goldfish. That's for
and
sure.
And then I like Torso a lot. That's
but they're all
Torso's
great
amazing. Yeah, Torso's amazing. So.
Torso's fantastic.
Yep. All right, so his awkward questions, which you got to read them just to hear how. What were your guys' most awkward run-in with a female fan?
We haven't really had an awkward run.
They're all very nice.
Yeah.
Have we ever used our internet fame to lord over anyone in our life, at work, at a bar, in the bedroom, etc.?
I don't think you understand how internet fame works.
And I don't think you know what lord over means.
Yeah. I can tell you what. Outside of a comics convention, yep. I ain't nobody.
Yep. Nobody cares.
And pretty much at a comics convention, I'm just a dude.
Yeah, totally.
Who knows some other dudes. That's about it.
Yeah. Has anyone noticed you straight off the street? Yes, that has happened.
Ron?
Yeah. It happened to me a couple of weekends ago. I was in London, actually, getting on the subway or getting on the underground. And as I walked on the train, a guy goes, "Hey, you're Ron Richards." And I said, "Yes, I am." Because I was just watching your show. And I said,
"That's weird.
I said, "Thank you." And he's like, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I'm going to Baker Street."
I'll tell you what, it doesn't happen all that often, but it's happened like enough times that like.
But it happened. We all had dinner together by my.
Yes, yeah, yeah, that was the. Oh yeah, and he probably listens. That guy must have been
happy because you got the triple.
Yeah, that guy was awesome.
We were having dinner at a Chinese place in my neighborhood, and we were just eating in Brooklyn, and some guy walks into the restaurant, walks up to our table, and says, "Hey, I love you guys," and
walks out. He had shopping bags with him. He came in. Yeah,
that was class. He didn't just stand there and then try to.
Well, didn't one of you get recognized at a wedding?
I did.
Yeah.
The wedding. I was at my friend's wedding from college. And someone goes, "Hey, Connor." And I thought it was a guy from college, but it wasn't. It was a guy whose wife watches our show. He didn't even watch it himself.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've had it a couple times. Yeah. Like at the movies once or twice. Like, "Hey, boy." I was like, "What? Oh, hey." Yeah. I don't know what to do. But it makes you think when you need to buy hemorrhoid cream. Because there could be somebody there.
There have been a couple of times. In San Francisco, it's kind of, you know, because I do stuff with Revision 3 and video and stuff, so it's obvious. So I've gotten a lot of people on the street there. But there was the weirdest time was when I was coming home on the bus, and I was tired, and I was kind of nodding off and whatever. And then I checked Twitter, and I see somebody tweeted. I see an @reply that says, "OMG, @RonXO is on the same bus as I am right now." I can't believe it. And I, I wrote back. I was like, dude's got to get home somehow. Like, you know, like, it's somebody, you know, like, yes, I take the bus. I'm sorry.
You don't take your chauffeured cars like I do all the
Anyway, and his last question is, what's the deal with Aquaman?
He's awesome.
What is the deal with Aquaman? So
he was awesome when he was surly and bearded and hated everything because he'd lost his hand. That was awesome. Joe from the Bronx, exclamation point. One, are you guys planning on attending New York Comic Con? If so, we have a booth like you did at SDCC.
Yes, we are, and yes, we will.
There you go. Number two, something.
Yes, we will.
Something has been on my mind a lot lately. I've been reading comics regularly since 1984. That's a long time. I remember that it was around the time of Secret Wars, and with a timeout in the late 80s to late 90s. That's 10 years. Only very recently have I decided to wait for the trade for most books in virtually all limited series. This is partly due to economic reasons, mainly because most stories are written 4 to 8 issue arcs, which I find read better in trade. Mainly I can't remember what happened in the issues, or because I anticipate liking the series so much that I want a nice hardcover copy. The Marvel's Project, for example. The problem is that I feel I am not supporting less popular books when I don't buy the individual issues. Prime example is Atlas. I know you guys aren't big on this title, but I love the Agents of Atlas. I picked up all the issues. I feel partly responsible because I didn't pick up the issues and therefore contributed, albeit in a small way, to the low sales figures. I'm feeling the same thing for the upcoming Freedom Fighters from DC. This won't sell well, I predict. You're right. But I like the previous series and want a nice hardcover collection. By waiting for the trade, am I contributing to the inevitable cancellation? Yes. It sucks, and you're not doing anything wrong, but you
Yes. Yeah. Sad.
It's not about you as much as it is a sort of a little bit of a short-sightedness on the part of the publisher, but also an educated guess on their part also.
Yep.
Because if something doesn't sell for $3, what do you think the chances are that it's going to sell for $20?
Yep.
And that's not you. That's the, you know what? Those series would have been canceled either way, because there's probably some people like you who are waiting for the trade, but there's a lot more people who don't buy it just because they don't buy it. No. That just sucks about the, it's too small. The audience is too small. So, there you go.
Yep.
Three, I asked you guys this a long time ago and got no response, probably because you thought I was joking. Seriously, very often when I read comics, anything published roughly in the last 10 years, I find that the ink from the paper comes off on my fingers, leaves smudges, fingerprints on the cover. This is especially noticeable on Hellboy covers, which have a lot of black ink, but happens on most covers.
Interesting.
Latest issue of Captain America, for example. Does this happen to anyone else?
That's never happened to me in ages.
I've never noticed that.
But that said, I do realize, and this is going to get a little weird and a little OCD, but I don't spend a lot of time touching the pages. No, I'm serious.
Glossy though.
Well, yeah, they are. Yeah,
Hellboy's glossy.
Yeah, it's weird. But like, but no. But honestly, like, I hold a comic book. I hold the spine in the dead center part of my palm, and the front cover and the back cover rest on the tips of my fingers and on my left hand, and on my right hand, I turn the page. Like, I go to the corner, and then I just hold the book and I read it, and I turn the page, and I don't spend a lot of time holding the individual pages.
I eat Doritos as I read them.
Hold
it over the back cover.
Stop.
I crunch.
Stop. He takes him to the bathroom.
You're making my ears hurt. Well, I take him to the bathroom too, though. But yeah,
he doesn't wash his hands.
I wash my hands.
I have not noticed an ink problem in forever. Anything, it would only happen on the newsprint kind of pages, and that's only like some Vertigo books have that now.
Yeah.
Maybe you're greasy. Are you a sweaty man, Joe?
Were you reading the newspaper beforehand, or?
I've never noticed that.
Do you polish shoes? are you a boot black, Governor?
I don't know what to tell you. Sorry. Hold it differently.
I've heard nobody complain about this, and I think we would.
Yeah.
Juan Bon Jovi, in anticipation of 250, I just re-listened to episode 150, so I'm wondering, Ron, given your professed penchant for polyamory, Jesus, which X-Men characters, members, no pun intended, would you invite into Dream Menage a Mutant?
Do I have to go back and listen to 150? Did I say I was pro poly sex stuff?
Shit. Yes, you did.
I did? What did I say?
You said you weren't necessarily against guy, girl, as long as it wasn't me and Josh involved.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you're going to have a good time, you know? You're going to have a good time.
So who are the X-Men?
I don't want to know this.
I do. I want to know.
I know the answers.
Do I? Wait, no.
It's Kitty Pryde and Jean Grey. Come on.
Yeah, that would be nice. I wouldn't turn Psylocke away. I wouldn't turn Rogue away. I'm making a joke. I probably wouldn't turn Gambit away. kidding.
Longshot?
Totally kidding. Longshot. No, Cyclops. No, Cyclops. No, that's he's got to stay over there. That's,
Emma Frost.
I wouldn't turn her away.
Okay, she's attractive.
You know, there's really no ugly X-Men. Have you noticed that?
Yes, but what if involved with Cyclops?
No, I can't. I wouldn't.
It was Cyclops.
It's a professional relationship. It would never happen. Or I would turn Artie or Leech away because they're just freaky looking.
What about all Beak? Right. Do you have a thing for that?
Beak? Oh, isn't he dead? Well, he should be dead. Anyway, next question. Jackie T from Queens, New York. Number one, as of right now, would you, the iFanboys, change any of the titles you chose for your top 10 books? Video shows 1 and 52. No.
Yes.
No.
Probably.
I wouldn't change them.
I don't remember them.
Yeah, I don't remember them either. Did we miss episode 100? We didn't follow up on that, did we?
By the way, I saw it said change any of the titties. That's what I read.
Titles.
That's where I am right now.
I wouldn't change any of the titties for the world.
I wouldn't change it. Jackie, not a single titty.
What are the iFanboys 11 to 15 books? I don't remember my 1 through 10, so yeah.
I'm sorry you came too late in the
the show.
Maybe we'll do that on a future video show, so stay tuned for that. What's the opinion of James Robinson's run on Wildcats? I liked it.
I gave it to Ron. I didn't read it, so I don't know.
You didn't read it?
I don't think I read it before I gave it to him.
I really liked it, though. I read it in issues, though, so. That was the golden age of Wildcats, so that was the Alan Moore, James Robinson, Travis Charest years.
Sure, it was good.
Scott Cole from Allentown, Pennsylvania writes, okay, I was listening to an old episode, and you were talking about the stuff you see from Amazon.
From Amazon.
So what's the weirdest thing you've ever seen ordered from Amazon?
It's got to be the sexy time stuff. I've seen numerous numbers of panties, lingerie, condoms, lubricant. Like there's been a startling number of sexy time items purchased. Apparently,
all of a sudden, Connor goes, I don't know anything about that.
Apparently, the iFanboys is getting it on, and that's good.
I haven't looked since Graphically Acquired Us, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, I can go back and I can look right now if you want live. If you want.
Oh no.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people order a lot of interesting things, including an 18-inch Rasta Coco necklace.
Wow.
It's like this weird kind of voyeurism where you don't really know.
We don't know
who's ordering it.
We don't know who's ordering. We just see a list of
it's just items. Which, items
it's
and quantities.
Like, wow, I would have never thought about buying that.
And the thing is, it helps us because we see, like, when we see what books you're all buying, like, we adjust, like, the banners and things like that, or hypothetically we could. But so it does help in that regard. So it's actually going towards a better thing. Like, a couple of you bought MacBook Pros, which I think is amazing.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's fantastic. A lot of DVDs. Someone bought the national flag of India.
See, I'm telling you, the people out there are listening right now. I'm like, that is fascinating.
Yeah, it's
fascinating. Do this all night, but we won't.
Someone bought a lot of Glee has been purchased. I think that was Connor.
Awesome.
Yeah, a lot of Moleskines. I'm looking for some weird sexy time stuff. Not so much.
Look, we'll move on to the next question. You see something great, you let us know. I feel like reading this next question in the style of Scott Cantor.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No reason. Ryan S. or Swifty, I was wondering how you pick the covers that drop into the long box in the video show intro. Any significance? Random images from Google? Who picked Aquaman? Love the show. Who's Scott Cantor? I don't know. You'll have to know. It's personal.
I think weren't they almost all mine? Then?
No. We put a lot of thought into that. We all picked covers, and we the covers of that long box are a random mix of the various of ones that we picked amongst the three of us at the time.
So, I know Aquaman is mine.
I know Green Lantern. The Green Lantern Speedy issue was mine.
Yes.
Yep.
But I think the rest were mine.
No. Josh picked. We all picked. I remember because I remember I distinctly remember discussing it. I remember saying
I have seen that hundreds of times, and I cannot remember a single
Nova,
thing.
One of my Green Lantern
Green Arrow cover right now.
One of my Nova issues is in there. I'm gonna
Queen and Country. I think
I'm gonna pull it up right now. Let's see here. Here it is. It's Aquaman, Astro City, Criminal, Jonah Hex, like Queen and Country. We all picked. It was the three of us picking what books we wanted.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's true. I remember that now.
Yep. All right. Zach H. writes in Zach71296 on the site. What was the most difficult comic or comic item to track down so you could finally own it? Interesting.
Ron.
Your
Flash comic?
Oh, which I still don't own. Yeah, I'm still chasing the issue where Barry Allen, Jay Garrick meet for the first time. Flash.
We looked for it in one of the cons.
It was a little out of my price range. WonderCon.
Was it WonderCon?
Yeah, it was WonderCon. Yep. It was a little. It was in the $200 to $300 range, and I was like, ah, it's a bit more than I want to spend. I will get it though. I will get it. Oh, here we go. Someone bought condoms. Trojan ends. Oh wow, wow. Trojan Durex and Crown condoms. 36 condom variety pack.
That's a lot of fucking.
That's a lot of fucking. Wow.
Someone bought
5 pounds of chia seeds. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Here it is.
5 pounds?
Here it is. Somebody bought a pack of 2 Astroglide personal lubricant 5 ounce bottles.
Nice.
There you go.
You know what? The thing with lubricant, it goes faster than you think it would.
Anyway, there's nothing else dirty. So that Flash one, I'll get it eventually. But so.
I have not searched for anything. But I'm assuming Josh has anything.
Not really. I got people to send me stuff that I really wanted.
Zach M., I was wondering, who are your favorite non-Marvel or DC characters? Non-superior characters, that is. My personal favorite is Spider-Jerusalem. I have a soft spot for substance abuse and religious rants. Now, Spider-Jerusalem is a DC character.
Right, no, but he means non-superhero character. That's
okay,
all, yeah.
We'll take that. But
yeah, non-superhero character. Favorite non-superhero character? Good question.
Hellboy. I like Hellboy a lot. Cliche.
He's a superhero. He's a superhero, though.
Nah. Yeah, but he's a Dark Horse character.
Yeah, no, but he's a superhero.
Nah, there's no other superheroes. That's just he's just a weird character.
I like John Chu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's somewhat. I mean, that's too temporary. You know
what? No, no. You just put that condition on it. That doesn't.
I did.
You just don't like the choice for some reason.
I just think it's new. I mean, it's easy to say, like, what's your favorite, you know, like, what's your favorite movie? And to say a movie made in the past 5 years is a little too recent, you know?
Well, I love Paul Crocker.
Paul Crocker's a good
guy. I love Paul Crocker. I think he's fantastic. Queen and Country.
I got nothing. Ron? I got nothing.
Wow, you've got nothing.
You don't got Kachu?
I like Kachu. I mean, I don't know if she's my favorite. I mean, the thing is, I don't like Kachu or Francine individually. I like them together.
What about Dave?
Dave who?
David.
Oh, David? No, David's a pussy. yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one.
Well, you'll abstain.
Well, if we want to go recently, I fucking love Black Sad, the character Black Sad. The guy, he was awesome. He was totally...
Was it?
Yeah, it was... Oh, you got to read that. You guys would... Both of you would love that book.
I look forward to it.
Anyway. All right, Dave C. writes in, says, supposing the show Undercover Boss, the NBC reality show, occurred in the various comic universe, which character would you like to have to go undercover to get a feel for the realities of his or her company and what he or she would do? Well, that's easy. J. Jonah Jameson.
I still would like to see the mayor of New York idea we had.
What was that idea? Refresh my memory.
Where the book was about the mayor of New York City.
In the Marvel Universe.
In the right. Marvel Universe.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
Having to deal with the trials and tribulations.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I would love to see like somebody like the view of the assistant who Tony Stark doesn't know.
Yeah,
he's like third assistant.
Yeah.
Well, I told you the genius pitch that me and Matt Cillity had a couple years ago, right? Didn't I? For that the lowly guy in Marvel who worked at like Roxxon or worked at Stark and then got a job in the Baxter Building and was just this very not but was the catalyst to various events throughout the Marvel history,
like that Star Wars book, the Tyler and Bink.
Yes,
book.
Yeah, but not as comedy, not as so comedy based. Yeah, Tag and Bink.
Yeah,
that was great. So. All right. Supposing one of the suits from either Disney or Time Warner was featured on the show, which aspect of comic production marketing would you like them to endure?
Digital.
Yeah.
Digital. I mean, for both professionally and personally.
Are there any cities which you think could sustain a Comic-Con that currently don't have one?
I don't think the country can sustain another one.
I think Boston.
Boston has one.
Yeah, but they have a small one.
But they have one. I mean, Scotty was. I mean, like there was enough people went there. Scotty and Norton and everybody went there.
It's a very small con. I think they could handle a big con. There's enough people in the Northeast. There's enough creators in the Northeast that could handle a big con.
That'd be cool.
It could be bigger. Yeah. So,
but right. I mean, we wouldn't know because we're not in a lot of the other places. You know.
Next question,
Chris. Hey guys, I don't care what the rest of the internet says. You people are good folks. Thanks, Chris. What does the internet say? Anyway, I'm one of the.
I've got a Google alert. Wait a minute.
I'm one of those crazy buy issues and bind them people, and I was wondering what you think about the small slice of that small spice of comic collecting community. Good on you, Chris.
Yeah, if that's what you like. I personally am not a fan of the library binding type thing. I don't.
I figured you would be okay with it.
No, I'm okay with it. I don't care. I just don't want to do it. I just don't want. I mean, the thing is, like, I like
it's like bootleg DVDs. I don't care how nice you do the packaging. It's not the thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like I like having my issues in bags and boards and reading the issue individually. If I wanted to read a book of the issues collected, I would get the hardcover or something. You know, so
and if I was interested in keeping the issues. I would bag and board them.
Right.
And instead you're putting them all together. So the issues are quote unquote ruined.
Yeah.
But then you also just don't have something that's as easy and nice as the books.
I get why people want to do it, and that's fine. Yeah. I'm not condemning it. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just not for me. So. All right. Peter from Montreal, Canada says, I recently expanded my pull list and I'm enjoying all the new comics greatly. Unfortunately, as a result of my alcohol budget has shrunk to compensate. So I have to ask you, Connor, you the resident alcoholic, how can I get wasted most efficiently without having to drink rubbing alcohol? A significant portion of your tweets involve you getting drunk, so I'm sure you have some good ideas to start with. Thanks in advance, your most alcoholic eye fanboy.
Now, here's the thing. All right.
He's doing the drunky long pause. Now wait a minute. Now
like he's gonna say something important, but you know, it's just gonna smell funny.
Exactly.
A lot of times, I only remember to tweet when I am drunk. When I'm doing normal everyday things that don't involve alcohol,
yeah,
I don't think I should tweet my laundry.
It does come across like you're drunk a lot. It does,
right? Because I remember to tweet.
If I had to sum up my con experience this year, has been fielding the constant question of, is Connor okay? Or is Josh okay? Because of the demeanor of other tweets for different reasons.
I went to Mocha and I ran into Alex Robinson, Josh's best friend.
Yeah.
And his wife. And they said, you know a lot about wine, don't you? And I went, not really. They said, well, you always tweet about it. Well, the thing is, when I'm sober and doing sober things like laundry or groceries or cleaning or whatever the fuck sober people do, it doesn't occur to me to tweet that when I'm drinking.
I would like you to realize, everyone, that he just said, whatever the fuck sober people do. With demonstrable contempt.
I was just literally thinking, and this was the moment we realized Connor had a problem.
it wasn't this moment.
it doesn't occur to me to tweet that shit.
Yeah.
It's when I've been drinking, that's when it occurs to me, hey, I should tweet this. So yeah. There may be a skewed tweeting equation there, but if you want to get drunk...
Are you punching up your public persona, Connor?
Perhaps.
A little bit.
If you want to get drunk faster, I found lately wine is
you did a little bit. A
little bit, a little bit, a little
wine
bit.
Just a little bit.
No, hey, wine is very guys, potent. Guys, no, guys, guys. The drinks are on the house. Drinks
little
on the house.
Bit.
Drinks on
little
the house.
Bit.
On the house.
Two times.
Moving on.
Oh, one thing, Connor. Go get your shine box.
Mm. Fuck you.
You fuck you.
You motherfucker.
I don't know if you heard. I don't shine. Ain't no more shine.
All right. Moving on.
You've been away a long time.
Jim writes, love the show. Thought it might be fun to play along.
It's not, the long is not there. The word was not there.
All right. Jim writes, love the show. Thought it might be fun to play Shag, Mary, Kill for the 25th episode. Of course, they're all guys, so I might be a bit gay, but what the hell? You're all comfortable with who you are, right? We are. I think we are. So, writers, Jeff Johns, Chris Claremont, Frank Miller, marry, shag, kill.
Well, that's easy. You marry Jeff, you kill Claremont, and you shag Miller.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
All right, I agreed.
Okay.
Artist, George Perez, Jim Lee, Alex Ross.
That's easy. You shag George Perez, you marry Jim Lee, and you kill Alex Ross.
Josh, did you agree?
I find it's easy in this game if I just agree with Ron, and that way I don't have to take any responsibility. That's why I've already two questions in.
The DC Big Three: Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. Okay, she's a girl.
That's easy. You kill Superman, you marry Batman, you shag Wonder Woman.
You marry Superman. He would be the best long-time partner.
Hey, all I know is that Batman's a fucking millionaire. That's all I'm thinking.
Superman would be the best partner, but Batman is the absentee billionaire husband who's
perfect.
Want to marry.
Yep.
So you can have the affair on the side.
Yep.
while he's off fighting crime and sleeping.
So then you have to kill the only one with a vagina in the whole thing.
No, no, you shag Wonder Woman. You kill Superman.
Yes, I agree.
Oh. Yeah, you kill Superman, marry Batman.
Marry Batman, kill Superman, shag Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Boomer Girl, or Marty G, says, if your lives were turned into a biographic comic, who would you have write it and do the art, and what would you have retconned?
I'd have retconned a lot of relationships. A lot.
I don't believe in retconning. I think, you know, like, I think that we've made mistakes, you have regrets, but you learn from it, and it shapes who you are and what it becomes and all. It's a very zen-like approach. I have to have that approach.
Connor tries to do the eternal sunshine of the spotless mind with wine.
Yeah, where you can erase things and stuff like that. Yeah.
Why do you think I drink so much?
Oh, Jesus.
I'd like to erase Debbie, Laura.
All right. So who writes and draws your bio comic? Well, Josh is Alex Robinson, right?
I write it.
Yeah.
I write my own book. And no, I wouldn't have Alex illustrate it. That's weird.
Because he'd be penises everywhere.
I'm thinking that he probably should then. He's good at that. He would.
All right, so who draws it?
Oh, that's tough. I would like a guy like a Peter Snaberg or something like that, who does like realism and cartooning at the same time.
For me, it would depend on who I'm talking about dating. If it's
no, it's your life. It's not your dating life. It's just your life.
Well, it's
a biographical comic.
If it's about me dating Laura, then
stop being specific.
Then Jamie McKelvey draws it because he already drew her in Suburban Glamour.
Yeah,
which was a trip. I'll say McGuire. Kevin McGuire draws it. He's always been
Kevin McGuire is more fitting for you. Yeah. Who writes it?
Someone really tragic.
Jonathan Ames.
Yes. Nice.
Fine. Take that one. Go ahead and run.
Well, Claremont writes it.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't talk like that at all.
No, but I think he would give a certain panache to my life. And then, McKelvey draws it.
Because you like the girls he draws.
Yeah, I would probably look better.
That's a finished book. I'm not sure.
You look a bit thinner. Let's all have Mike Norton draw it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mike Norton's drew us look better than we've ever looked in real life. All right.
Yeah, my nose was weird.
Russ writes it. I was gonna make a joke, but I didn't. Anyway, because your nose is fine. I was just being mean. All right. Russ writes in and says, "So what's the deal with the Hulk? Sometimes he's about 7 foot tall and looks like a green wrestler. Other times he's about 15 feet tall. Sometimes he's super angry about some minor slight, and others he's just like some thick kid. Yet still all hulked out." And I'm sure there was once a brainy Hulk, and sometimes he's a gray wise guy Hulk. P.S. Maestro, right. Is he the Hulk's pedo uncle from the future or something? I do like the Hulk, though, even the red one.
As far as I know, Hulk is the strongest one there is.
That's all you need to know.
Hulk
as
is
far
the
as I know, the Hulk
also
changed his size depending on how angry he is.
Madder Hulk gets, stronger Hulk gets.
Yeah. Yes.
Bigger Hulk gets.
Hulk is the strongest one there is.
Hulk is the strongest one there is. Russ.
And Maestro is the Hulk from the future.
Yes, he's the Hulk. It's just awesome. He's an awesome character.
I really like that as a singular answer.
Yeah.
Hulk Future and Perfect was a great book.
Yep.
I think if there's ever another Hulk question, they're all going to be answered with
Hulk's strongest one there is.
Hulk the strongest one there is.
That means Doug, aka Zombox on my fanboy, writes, I have recently purchased an original art. Listen.
It's getting embarrassing.
I've recently purchased an original art page from one of my favorite artists. As owners of such wonders, what do you find is the best way to display as well as preserve the piece?
If you want to frame it, make sure you get UV protected glass and acid free mat board that you're putting it on. You could pay to get it framed, although don't go down the path of paying more to have it framed than you paid for the page.
I went down that road for the Darwin Cook page we bought in San Francisco.
The frame cost more than the page?
No, but it cost a lot. I paid a professional framer to frame it and mount it. I mean, it's a work of art. It's not a lot. Yeah. It's not different than in a painting or whatever, so I figure... I don't own a lot of art like Ron does. Ron has a whole book, but I have only 2 pages of art, and I figured the 2 pages of art I had might as well be well protected. So I bought. I went to a framing place. I played for the full
I want to do that. I just haven't because I live in a small apartment and I don't have.
Have 35 pages of art.
Yeah. So what I did was I bought one of those art books, those art supply, like those big black books with the plastic pages, and that keeps them flat. It keeps them, you know, good, you know, protected and that sort of thing. So
the cheapest and most. I mean, like I had some pages that I just had in little IKEA frames for a while, but I actually took them out of there recently because I have two pages from Transmetropolitan. One of them from the first issue too.
And yeah, which awesome. Is badass. Yeah.
I bought. If you Google, and I wish they sponsored us so that we could do this, but I'll tell you anyway. Bill Cole Enterprises yes. sells their comic book page frames. So specifically, the right page. They're acid free. They're UV protected, and they're like $35.
Yes, $35. They're great. Did you get those frames?
I do.
Oh, both that's right. Yeah, I have one of them.
My Transmet pages are in there, and my Darwin page is in there.
Yeah.
I have an Alex Robinson page that I bought like years and years and years ago. That's in just a regular.
Does he know that?
He's uncomfortable by it.
Want to know creepy?
Yeah.
We moved things around because they were in the office, which was now my son's room. And so the box office poison page, which I bought in 2001, and I didn't hang out with him until the end of 2009. So it's in, like, when you open the door to the apartment, it's the first thing you see. And he walked in, he was like, oh, come on. And I was like, what do you want?
Is that what he said?
Yeah. I talked to him about it when I was in, when Josh did the Ink Panthers show, we had lunch with Alex afterwards, and I talked to him about it. And he said, it's just bizarre.
Yeah.
He walks into Josh's house, and there's his page on the wall.
That's funny. That's very, very
it's
funny.
It's a good page. It's the one, if you're familiar with Box Office Poison, they're at the party and Ed meets, they're with Caprice and Caprice's friend, Leia. And he hears that her name is Leia and he gets all excited and he sees TIE Fighters in his head and then he chugs his beer and he just goes up and he's like, I want to dance with you in the worst way, Leia. And so it's like the moment that Ed gets his cojones.
Cool.
Like that.
All right.
Let's do this.
So next question. Chris from Albuquerque, New Mexico. He's got a couple questions. So his first one, I've noticed an interesting new vocabulary in the comics world that didn't seem to exist when I put down my comics as a teenager in the 90s. Back in those ye olden days of Netscape and AOL chat rooms, there was a pretty clear delineation between illustrator and writer. Now the term creator seems to be a bit more of a common term, which gives equal credit to the main contributors of a comic. Do you know when this term started becoming popular in use, or just am I an old man of 30 should be worried about those slacker teenagers messing with my lawn? No, I think that I agree with you. I think that's within the past 5 years. I think
10.
It's 10 years, but it's totally
leaning towards the last five. I mean, it's yeah.
No, I think it's 10 years, but it's 10. I fanboy, but it's
2000 was like the
no
it's something I hadn't paid attention to. All of a sudden, it just was creators instead of writers and artists.
Yeah,
but it's 10 years, but yep. It just sort of happened.
So, I still think even when they do that, the line is this is the writer, this is the artist, except when it's Powers. You know, very rarely do you see just both names and then creators. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but when you talk about books, you talk about
the creator. We talk about the creator. Yeah, exactly. So,
well, that's a catch-all term that we can use. That's why.
Yeah, that's why.
Why did it come? Because people on the internet had to write about them all the time. They needed something instead of writing writers, artists, inkers, letters, colorists.
Yeah, creators. Yeah,
something.
All right, next question. I often come across interesting storylines in the middle of a run or after the fact completely. I have a natural tendency to look for stuff in trade form anyways, so I usually try and wait for the collection to come out. I'm running into problems keeping track of what stories are collected, where especially when they don't use the book titles on the trade cover, i.e. Detective and Action Comics. So far, I've been using the iFanboy Weekly Comics section to see what the new trades are, but I realized I'm probably forgetting about a lot of things that I noticed weeks earlier when they're in the monthly format. I wanted to know if there are any other good resources to keep track of how storylines are collected so I don't miss things. Honestly, it's previews and staying on top of it. That's all you can do.
It's a crapshoot.
It's a crapshoot. Yeah. So I mean, the way Marvel and DC repackage these books and stuff like that. Part of the reason why I don't jump to trades is because I listen to the guys on 11 o'clock comics and they're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna read this in trade. Like I wouldn't remember nor be able to, you know, guarantee. Like I'm OCD. Like I wouldn't guarantee that I can get the things I want to make sure I read. You know what I mean? Like I feel as if I'm safer getting them in monthly.
Good shop,
you know?
Might help.
Yeah, good shop. But yes and no. I mean, I'd like to think I have a good shop too, and I still think it's chaos.
Yeah, no, it is. But yeah. I mean, it might help. One of these many things put them all together.
Yeah.
It's a wild west out there, dude. What do you want?
You gotta be really diligent. Get a spreadsheet.
If you go all trade, you have to do the work yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
there's
lots of places to go to look for the issues, but there's not a lot of places for the trades.
Well, not even that. It's just that like now I only have to remember once a month. Like you read something now, and you're gonna wait 11 months.
Yeah.
To be like, oh yeah, the next I forgot, I'd forget, and I'd read it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, His last question. I started noticing iFanboy review quotes on the back of collected editions and trades. Have you guys had that high fidelity moment when you realize you are no longer just fans with an opinion and are now contributors to the art form that you love so much? Do you get giddy every time you see one of your quotes on a book? Also, do you consider yourselves critics, journalists, or still just fanboys? I'll be honest, I still get giddy whenever I see any of our names or our website on any book. There's something about seeing it printed that's fucking cool. But it's, you know, I don't feel as if I'm contributing to the art that we love so much. I mean, we're helping sell the books. We're not, you know, like... Oh, do you?
And yeah. I don't mean that in a highfalutin way, but I think that through us having to figure out a way to talk about stuff every week, we've become a little better versed on what it is that we like and don't like about it.
True.
And I think that that has helped other people in the same way. Not that they have to agree with our opinion, but at least in their critical thinking about comics a little bit, or just in buttoning down the things that you liked. And I also just – I like that there's a lot of people out there. There's thousands of people out there who tried stuff that they wouldn't have otherwise. I think that's awesome.
I do like that people see us and then see our quotes and then know that it's worth getting – you know what I mean? Like there's something cool about the adding to that and help. And like when we hear from creators when they have signings and they say that, oh, I heard about your book for my fanboy, that's a bit of pride and that makes me feel very
happy. I was so – when you said that thing that Jim Rugg said about Aphrodisiac, I was like, yes, that's what I want.
No, that was great.
I want that guy because that book is going to go under the radar and that's so wrong.
Yep, that's the number one selling book on iFanboy, actually, through Amazon.
In Seattle, when we went to Seattle, Jim Rugg told us that all his books sold out because of iFanboy.
Seattle.
As far as what we consider ourselves, I always tell people we're pundits.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
I'm the guy who talks about comics. I really like them. I've never had my name on a comic book. It's only
occasionally, ever- we dabble in the criticism, we dabble in journalism, but it's usually punditism.
Yeah, we're not like hard and true journalists and fact checking and all that kind of shit. And we're a lot of our stuff's opinion. You know, like I liken us, like if there was a comics MSNBC, we'd be like on the show talking about, you know, well, in this issue, it's, you know.
Yeah, but we're not idiots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
I think
I haven't
Jan M from the Philippines, who's also Zeno on iFanboy, writes, first of all, congratulations on 250.
Thank you.
He's got three questions. Number one, what do you consider as your most favorite comic book series and comic book issue? For example, mine is Why the Last Man in Captain America, Volume 5, Number 50.
Favorite comic book series and comic book issue? Jesus.
Series is Preacher.
Series is Uncanny X-Men. Connor? Detective?
That's fucking too... I'm passing on that. It's too hard.
All right. An issue I can't do. I can't pick a single issue.
Issue's really hard.
Issue's really... And it's not because I there aren't great issues that I love and stuff like that. It's just that literally if you see... Like, I'm filling a long box pretty much once a month these days.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
A month's not a month. A long box is like 900 issues.
No, a long box is like 200.
You're not filling it a month.
Yeah, a month, maybe 2 months. 2 months is maybe more accurate. Yeah,
I only fill a box every maybe.
I'm at the point where I'm partially because it's my apartment, but I've now run out of room in my closet to store long boxes, and they're outside in the hallway. Like that's
wow,
what it is. Yeah, so
I don't think I can pick issues just because they all run together.
Yeah, we read too many.
So, number two, since you were pretty much the ones who got me to discover the wonderful imprint that is Vertigo. What is your top five Vertigo titles?
Top three Vertigo titles.
Top three Vertigo titles.
I don't think there are top three Vertigo titles, are there?
Preacher. Why the Last Man. And... Chance of Metropolitan. That started off as Helix.
Yeah. Well, no, it's still Vertigo. It's a Vertigo. Yeah.
What about Sandman?
Not top three, no.
Really not top three?
No, Why the Last Man, Preacher, and Chance of Metropolitan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Don't get angry about it.
I agree to that.
Don't get aggressive about it.
All right.
Number three. To celebrate your 250th episode, what comic book series that have ended or is in its early run would you want to reach 250 issues? 250 issues.
You're cut off.
Your hand.
Invincible. I want to be reading issue 250 of Invincible.
More than Walking Dead.
I walk down the hardcover.
I would have said that have ended.
It's your fault.
I would love to have seen Joe Casey do 250 issues of the Wildcats.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
How cool would that have been?
Yeah, he wouldn't want to, but you would. Yeah.
No, he totally would have.
Yeah, yeah.
Just keep doing it.
Jan has a bonus question. By the way, did you
do your plan to do a statue episode.
No, by the way, did you do your plan to do a statue buying episode on the video podcast? Because that would be a great show. We haven't, and we will someday, maybe this fall. Stay tuned. So, because that's a great idea.
You gotta find out if that's in the budget.
Yes, it's yes, we'll find it in the budget. All right, next question.
I can't find the one I want anymore. I even looked for it.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta look for new ones. DJ from Fremont, California says, I love DC's Elseworlds! Exclamation point. With the return of the Elseworlds logo and the Superman, the Lost Family of Krypton, do you think we'll see more Elseworlds in the near future? God, well, I hope so.
I hope so, but probably.
Yeah, hope probably. Yeah, they wouldn't bring it back if they weren't going to. I know that Ron and Connor are drinking tonight. With their experience from the Tiki Tours at WonderCon, I have a question about alcohol. Have you found the perfect beer or other beverage to enjoy while reading a good trade or your stack of comics? I don't drink alcohol while I read my comics.
So. I don't either.
So
I would love it if he said, I have a question about alcohol. Why did my life leave me?
She took the kids and the couch.
Josh, next one. Oh, we're in the home stretch here. The last three.
Stevie from Scotland. I'll keep this short. Star Wars. I love it. You love it. Hell, everyone loves it. My question is this. Is there any Star Wars comic out there worth checking out? I read Dark Empire and the old Marvel movie adaptations, but is there anything out there I'm missing out on? I know Star Wars Legacy is coming to an end soon, but I haven't heard if it's worth checking out. Help a brother out, yo.
You know, I don't want to be like a dick, but like I haven't been interested in a Star Wars comic since
the answer that we always give.
Yeah, exactly.
Dark Empire was great.
Dark Empire was amazing.
Those are great comics. Those are great comics.
I think people really liked Legacy, and it went on with the same creative team for a very long time. You know, this last week, and if you go to shops, it'll be there. The first episode, the first issue was $1 from Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Try it.
Go pick it up. Yeah. So.
You know what? I imagine we'd probably like it.
Yeah, probably. It's just I haven't been interested. I couldn't be bothered. So, yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, hope that helps you out. Sorry. I did enjoy Tag and Bink, but that I don't think that is collected anymore or anything. But last three questions. Sean from Thornton, Colorado. Just want to say that I love the show and thanks for all you do. My questions for you is this. Please explain in detail what the story behind all the Thomas Jane references are. This sounds like an inside joke. Please let us in.
And Pimp Slamp's question is, on this very special episode, can you please share your favorite Thomas Jane anecdote?
Yes.
Okay, first question then. There's no Thomas Jane inside joke. He's at all of the conventions, and it's funnier every time.
It's an inside joke for a comic professionals and
people who listen or watch all our shows.
Hang on. For people who go to all the cons, like there is a grouping of a couple of hundred people from the companies, from the publishers, from the creators, from the press, from fans that go to Emerald City Con, Wonder Con, New York Con, San Diego, stuff like that. They all know the cult of Thomas Jane because basically the joke is he shows up at these cons and he is like king of the con. He walks around with no shoes on and a cigar in his mouth and is
walks up to conversations that other people are having and he says, "Hi, I'm Tom."
That's exactly what I was standing at the Hyatt last year at San Diego talking to it was me, Brian Wood, and Bray Grant, and he just walked up to us and goes, "Hey, I'm Tom. I like comics." I'm like, "Good, Tom. Good for you."
And he does that every night, the entire convention. And they like at the first that was last year, they're like, "Oh, that was funny." And then he was doing it still this year. And then, I mean, what's the best story?
The Seattle.
Oh, there's two. There's two.
There's two stories.
Tom Jones. Okay. Tom Jane walks across.
Well, hang on. You got to paint the picture. So it's at.
I'm trying.
At San Diego, outside the Hyatt, there's this area, patio area, where a lot of people smoke, whatever. On Saturday night at San Diego, there's easily 100 people out there just standing around, talking, drinking, having a good time. He's walking around barefoot, ripped T-shirt, like no sleeve T-shirt. Cigar in one hand, drink in the other hand.
Satchel.
Man purse satchel. Right. And then he proceeds to, he's going around introducing himself to everybody, talking to everybody. And then he kind of veers off to the left where the parking garage is and walks up to the wall and proceeds to do, you know, when you walk into a public bathroom and there's the dude at the urinal doing the lean back, you know, like the kind of arching his back backwards and peeing. He's doing that, peeing on the wall. And so this is what I'm seeing. I'm standing on the patio, and I look, and I see Thomas Jane peeing on the wall on the parking garage, leaning back, smoking a cigar. And I look to my right, and I see a line of 15 people holding phones, taking pictures. So,
well, he's got an impressive cock because he stars the show called Hung.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear. Yeah. So that's the greatest show. That's the greatest Tom Jane story.
Well, for us, for me, it was Ron and I in Seattle.
Yep.
We go through a whole week. Weekend. We taped all the interviews. We got to do the opening of the show. So we go to
behind the curtain, if you watch the Fanboy shows, you'll notice that the opening and the closing, we're often wearing the same clothes and our voices are hoarse. It's because we wait to the last possible moment to do those. When sucks. You would think we should do them first when we're fresh and everything's great, but no, we wait till Sunday at 3:00 and oh shit, we got to do the open.
So we go into the front of the con in Seattle to do the open, and I'm shooting Ron, and he starts talking. And I see, because when you're shooting, you got one eye in the viewfinder, one eye not. And I see in my not eye somebody walking into our frame. I think, fuck, somebody's ruining our shot. But I don't move for whatever reason. It turns out it's Thomas Jane, and he puts his arm around Ron.
Says hello to the camera, nods.
Hey, how's it going?
And then
he walks away.
And it happened so quickly that what happened was is that I'm standing there holding the mic, looking at the camera, and I'm doing, hey, welcome to my Fanboy. My name is Ron Richards. We're at Seattle. Yada. And I feel someone walk up next to me, put their arm around me, and kind of look, nod, and turn around and walk away. I didn't see him at that point. I never made eye contact with him. I turned around, and I just see walking away from me a black trench coat and cowboy boots. And I look back at the camera. I go, that was Thomas Jane. I didn't see his face, but I knew it was him.
To your greatest credit, you didn't break the shot.
His timing was also such that we actually said everything you needed to say beforehand.
Yes, it was amazing.
His timing was perfect. Now, the second part of this is that I did not go to that show.
Yes.
I did not know about this. I was given all the tapes and said, here, you edit this monkey. And I said, okay. So I'm going through. I'm starting to put the show together. I've done this a lot. It's fairly routine. I'm watching the thing. I grab my phone. Text. Is that? Text comes back. Yup. Because the thing is, at first I was like, it just didn't click. I was like, who am I looking at? And by the time I figured, I was like, that's weird. Did you? Nope. Oh, okay.
You didn't even ask. We just knew exactly what you were saying.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fantastic.
That was great.
That was the best, I think, better than peeing story was him interrupting our shot, seamlessly integrating himself into the shot and leaving, and Ron finishing the shot, and no one broke character, no one broke the tape, and it was perfect.
It was amazing.
As you can see, in the last San Diego episode, we sort of went after him, but we didn't push it too hard. You know why? We don't want to ruin it.
You can't make it happen.
He's a bit scary.
He's a bit scary. Yeah, he is.
But
yeah.
We went to the Scott Pilgrim screening with the cast and crew. And he crashed the screening.
He wasn't supposed to be there. He jumped on stage.
He ran on stage. He vaulted onto the stage. He had his own little video camera. Yep. And he was disrupting everything. I mean, he is the king of Comic-Con.
He loves it. He loves it. It's amazing. I give him credit. It's amazing.
So that is why we talk about him. We don't talk. It's not an inside joke between us. We've talked about it many times.
It's in the comics industry. I mean, if you ask anybody in the know, and you say Thomas Jane, they'll laugh. They will know. If you go to the con, go to the booths, ask anybody, they'll be like, is Thomas Jane around? And they'll laugh. So
can I say on the other side, on a completely serious note, and to cap this, he's really fucking good.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
No, like Hung is a really good show, but like the guy that he plays on that is so different than the dude who I see stumbling around comic conventions several
drunk,
times a year.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, and I don't even buy that.
He's a great actor. He's a great actor.
Yeah.
Last.
So last question. Well, no. Last. Okay. So no. Last two. So So that was Pin and Slap's question there. So last question, Josh, take it away.
Mosher. Hey there, big guys. I did that method. I'm kind of drunk and will be completely shit faced while listening to 250. So bear with me there. I was just wondering how the three of you met. Maybe you said it in a previous podcast, but I don't know shit. And also, and I believe this is a fitting end. Also, I don't think Nightfall was that bad. I hear a lot of you guys think it sucked, but I think some of that stuff in those stories was cool. I like the Zaz stuff. I know it's a taste thing, but I'm just curious why you didn't like it.
let's get that part out of the way.
Please.
Oh, that was really funny.
It was the height of the late 90s. It was while we were in college. Why we didn't like it? Because it was...
I've never read it, but I bet I wouldn't.
I read all of them. It was an attempt to modernize.
It was before
Batman.
College. That was before college.
No,
it was.
I no.
I will bet you. I will bet you money.
Listen to me. It started before college. It ended in college because sophomore year, I wrote a letter to Wizard about it in my sophomore year dorm.
No, fuck you. You're wrong. Yes, fuck you. You're wrong. Wikipedia, no. Right here, baby. Batman Nightfall is the title given to a major Batman story arc published by DC Comics that dominated Batman comic books in the spring and summer of 1993. Nightfall is also the umbrella title to the trilogy storylines that ran from 93 to 94. We started college in fall of 95.
Yeah. Then there was Night's End, which after Nightfall. It was a continuing story that went on for years. That I wrote my article to Wizard sophomore year.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Nightfall. It was Night's End.
Dude, seriously, Night's End, July to August 94.
Yeah, and then it went on.
Right, but it was all before college.
It wasn't.
I swear to God, I remember reading a Wizard in high school about it. It was done by the time we started college. It was done.
I wrote to Wizard in high school sophomore year.
Dude, the last storyline of the total Nightfall saga, according to Wikipedia, was the Troika, which was in February 95. We graduated high school in June 95. It was done before college.
I'm going to look this up while we talk some more.
I'll send you the link. I have it. It's just
I know, but I wrote to Wizard in 96.
No wonder they didn't print it. They're like, this is a year old.
I can't believe this is happening right now.
The story continued on for years.
No, it didn't.
It did. I didn't have email in high school. I didn't have it to college. I wrote an email.
He was waiting 2 years to write this.
If only I had some way to send this. I got it all mapped out in my head.
Why was it stupid? Because it turned Batman into something he wasn't. It turned him into a killer. It turned him into a psychopath. Blah blah blah. Yeah. How did we all meet?
Oh God, I wish.
We talk about this a lot, but there are new people who come on who don't know the story, so we'll talk about it again.
So who met Connor? You and I met first, right?
No.
Ron and I met.
No.
Yeah. First semester.
I'm telling you.
Josh and I were in the same orientation class.
Oh, okay. So you guys met. Okay. All right. I didn't know that. I didn't even know that.
I met Josh.
Some kind of new orientation group. I never.
Josh and I were the same orientation class. He was joking, Josh.
Oh, really? Yeah.
We had to apply a name to ourselves that had the same first letter. He was joking, Josh.
And at that point, I was like David Brent. I was like, Mom, mainly I'm interested in humor, comedy.
I think I was courageous Connor or something like that.
Oh, I have no recollection of this.
I hated orientation.
But we weren't friends until junior. But Ron and I met. Freshman year of college in broadcast production 101.
11 o'clock to 11:50, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Exactly. We became friends because we both like comics. We both like Star Wars.
It was Star Wars before comics.
Mostly Star Wars, yes.
Yep. And, because we had to produce a talk show. And we had to bring in stuff to have people talk about. And I brought in all my Star Wars books. And Connor,
yes, and I was the host.
And Connor was my talent. And you were into Star Wars. I was like, yes. Yeah.
It was – I have those tapes.
Fucking Jim Karagiannis ruined my project. He couldn't read a fucking cue card.
But Ron, I have the VHS of Ron and I – 18-year-old Ron, 18-year-old Connor talking about Star Wars.
Yep.
I have those tapes.
Yep.
That's how Ron and I met. We weren't really friends. We were more like we knew each other.
And so now this is my stock story about it, but every day from September through December, the first semester, 11:50, the class ended at 11:50, lunch was at noon, so you go to lunch at noon. Every day, Connor had at least three girls waiting for him outside our room to go to lunch with him. So I dubbed him the Chick Magnet. Yeah, so that was
that's by the way, that's not even close to his best nickname from college.
Molly, no, Jocelyn, and
I remember, and I was like, how? Like they're waiting for you. How are you doing that? It was amazing.
But then Josh and I didn't meet until
spring of junior year, because Connor was really good friends with my roommates, but I didn't really
Jared and Steve.
Yeah, but that was the first semester they were my roommates, and Connor came out to visit while we were in Los Angeles for the semester. And I couldn't help but notice that none of them went to do anything.
Like, but also, you had an extra bed, and I slept in the bed in your room.
Yeah, but like that always struck me is that he came out to L.A. for the first time in his life, and there's like all these things you go see in L.A., and none of them ever went anywhere. They just hung out and talked shit.
Steve and Jared didn't want to do anything, so
all the time. And
I remember you and I hanging out by the pool and discussing how if you wore your sunglasses, you could check out the girls without anybody noticing.
Nice.
Why do you remember everything? How do you even have this many brain cells left?
Jesus.
But you can't come up with the word letter. But meanwhile, you're like, and you had on a white shirt.
You and I are by the pool, and you had your sunglasses on, and you said, the best part about the sunglasses is you can look at the girls, and no one knows you're doing it. And it was perfectly honest, because in L.A., there were a lot of girls by the pool.
It's true. No one's faulting the 21-year-old for looking at girls that are around a pool in L.A.
Yeah, nothing's wrong with that. So, Josh, did we meet fall of junior year? We must have. Because that was new telecom tech, and that was fall. So Josh and I were in the same class, and last week on the last podcast, I talked about the story where Josh heard me talk about The Simpsons and asked for the tape and promised me a cookie. But then Josh also directed the TV show that I worked on. It was like the MTV video show.
You were a host, though.
No, I wasn't. I was a studio slot.
Were the talent.
Yeah, I would go on camera and all this stuff. But Josh directed it, and in between episodes and in between tapings, we would talk in the airlock about Josh's relationship woes. And then
was it Marissa?
Yes, yes.
Nice.
And then it was the kind of thing where like every week I'm like, oh, I've got to listen to this guy talk. And no, it was good. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Well, Josh had Marissa, I had Debbie, and you had Kristen.
Yeah, yeah, but I didn't have any woes. But Josh always seemed to be on the brink of it ending or something. There was always some crisis going on. I remember. Do you remember that, Josh? Really, like intense conversations in the airlock.
No, I don't remember that at all.
That summed up my Tuesdays. And then senior year is when
I remember wanting to get over to the computer that had the internet connection so we could check on some shit.
Okay, I'm
just
sure we
whatever
did that.
It was we were talking about.
Yeah.
And we need to get over there, but we had to get the other people out of the way.
Yeah, I remember that. But then also in between tapings, we would get pizza, and then when senior year when Gordon joined the Gordon joined the TV show, those pizza half hour became the contest to try to get the other someone else to spit from laughing.
But somehow I ended up in those.
No, you didn't
I did in second semester.
Later.
Yeah, second Later. Semester. Yes. Yeah. Because you helped out on the marathon, and then from that point you started showing up, and then it was Jared, and it was Gordon, and it was Josh, and me, and Con, and we'd eat pizza, and we'd be talking and laughing, and there's a spot in fucking Park where one of us dropped, like, spit out their pizza and the sauce, and it stained the tile. I'll never forget that. Yeah, so. Remember, nice. Spit!
I became friends with Josh in L.A. Because when I came, when they came back and I went, when I came back, we were friends. But I don't know when Ron and I became friends.
We didn't become friends. No, literally, we didn't become friends until the marathon. Casey. What happened was is the video show we worked on would do a 14-hour marathon every year, and the producer that was producing the show that year was a fuck up and wasn't prepared, and so I started helping out the day before. And then that morning, we're supposed to go live at 9 a.m., and it's literally me and John and nobody else there. And then some other girl came in, and I threw her in front of the camera. I locked down the cameras. John was in master control. I was in the control room. And then like at like 9:30 or 10, which is very uncharacteristic to Connor shows up. And I remember I immediately put you on the board.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, because we just needed help, and then and then it went from there. And then we hung out that entire day. There was the mythical 13th hour that didn't get taped when we all
done. We were all Justice League people.
Yeah, exactly. That didn't get taped. The 1 hour.
It was a strip club.
Yeah, then we went to a strip club because it was Jared's birthday. Yes,
era.
And then it was
that's when we became friends.
Yeah, the thing about Connor and I is that we were friends maybe for a month at the end of college, and then it went on after college. So
we became better friends after college.
Yes. Wow, this is so self-indulgent.
But that's what the question
asked. Yeah, he asked. So, yep.
I go to bed.
I think so. So that's our last question. It's amazing. We made it through 90 questions over 4 hours. I don't know what this is going to edit down to.
Oh, fuck.
But Jesus Christ. Let's wrap this up. We're from ifanboy.com. Go there. We've got good writings. It's good stuff. Podcast. Good stuff. Video show. Ifanboy.com.
Email us questions at contact@ifanboy.com. Call us 888-FANBOY 326-2697. We don't normally do voicemails on this show.
I'll write a review about this podcast.
My voice is I'm sore.
I've never felt so much like Brian Bendis in my life.
I'm sweating with the headset on.
We should have gotten Suntress to host this.
That would have taken longer.
you've been talking about some fucking show I don't know about. Perhaps, you know, it's like Mannix. I don't, dude. And then Connor be like, yes, Mannix. I'm like, oh, come on.
Perhaps two bottles of champagne are too much.
Josh, yes, I think we can agree. Josh, you never watch Mannix?
Mannix is awesome.
That's a running gag I could be done with.
All right. If you like us, go to iTunes, write a review, but don't write a review of this show. Tune in next week for our normal show. That's where we're better. Thank you for listening. Thank you for 250 fantastic episodes.
We appreciate all of you. Thanks for writing in. If you didn't get your name on the show, we'll write back to you. We thank you for writing.
Yep. And and more importantly, thank you, Josh and Connor, for putting up with this for 5 years. And it's amazing. So good job, guys.
It's been 5 years.
It will be 5 years. The podcast will be 5 years. Is 5 years October in October, yeah. November. Yeah.
Oh my god!
We started recording in October, but the first one got released in November.
Fuck. Powers number 14. Suck it.
Yep.
True.
Good times. Good times had by all. So go to ifanboy.com.
Until next week. I am Connor.
I am Ron.
Go screw.
We didn't say go screw that much.
I just did.
Go screw.
Go screw.
And see.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.